Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, January. Goodness, what is today's date? I think it's the 21st. Up, oh, 21st.
Yeah,
25th. Yeah, thank you. Okay, today's January 25th, 2016. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385698. If anybody would like to email us a question, you can send it to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's questions, plural, @nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll bring it up on the following Monday. Please support our business partners. You can see our banners on the right-hand side, their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. Okay, let's start off with a look into the Lord's Word. Tonight's scripture reading is Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth on the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instructions, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rules and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs 8, chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. Okay, tonight we got a few things to look into and share and talk about. We did do another paper, we read last Wednesday, which was running late because of the problems we had technically on Monday, and that program is up online for anybody that's missed it, Wednesday night open forum. And we did post that up there. The papers did go out. I believe it went out actually the day before we actually read it. I think it went out Tuesday, but it might have went out Monday. We did write another paper. We're planning to write at least one paper a week. We've got a lot to say, a lot of focus, a lot of things to reveal. The best cleanser is sunlight. So if we want to get rid of darkness, we turn on the lights. If we want to clean up the mess, we bring in the light and it cleanses it. Okay, our paper is an information and a mandamus. It is addressed particularly to all governors. We do mention all 50 governors by name. It is addressed, very particularly what caused this is a paper that was written by New Jersey Homeland Security Office, and so that's what really got us to write this particular paper. So we have the director or whatever his title is of that office in New Jersey. We got Governor Christie, which has his name on the top of that website. He's responsible. So both of those individuals are particularly focused in on. We also have those who were the analysts that came up with these conclusions. We refer to them as John and Mary Doe. And again, we've got all the other 49 governors. We also are covering every single senator and U.S. representative, and we decided to start naming these people by names. You know, we've been shying away from that because it takes up a lot of paper, and it goes, the list goes on for pages by the time you get to the beginning of the paper. But I think it's time that we really have to start doing that and spend the time and the money on the papers. It takes more to fax, but it is what it is. And and I think it's more powerful. I heard others mention the same thing, that it's more powerful putting their name for these people to see their names. And we're calling them defendants, and that's what they are. We, the people of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Juries, are the sureties of peace. We assigned the same magistrate, Magistrate Patricia Sullivan, out there in Oregon. Oregon is ground zero. It's where everything is happening, and we're focusing paperwork in on that. So we're kind of focusing a lot in on that, and we're filing in it. That's where we're going to file. As I think I mentioned last week, we intended originally to try to do this when we get to this point, to do this in New York. I guess God had other things in mind. Opportunity and timing was right, so we took it. And so this is an information and writ of mandamus. We also copied, and for them, we haven't given these people any command. We have in the past, but we copied all nine justices up on the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court. So they're mentioned in here by name also. For them, it's more of an information than anything else. In our last paper, we saw that on June 15, 2015, Anton Scalia, again on the birthday of the Magna Carta, okay, which was June 15, 2015, exactly 800 years anniversary. Scalia made a wrote another conclusion for a case. The case didn't need this, but he put it in there, and he made a big thing about the Magna Carta and how it's still law. So, of course, we used that that case in our paper last week. And so we want to make sure everything we're doing now, we're going to name the justices, at least for an information purposes, and let them know what we're doing. And they could be the salvation of this whole thing at some point in time in the future, if they can get at least a majority. But even without a majority, even if there was a break in them and it was a minority, fighting for liberty, look, that's something, and that's good enough for us. So here it is, information. You can find this paper up on nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on news. Again, nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on news. So the blue bar, second from the left. And when you get there, this is paper. It's, let's see. We labeled it Homeland Security. 16-1-26, which I believe is tomorrow's date. I'm not sure. I think that's tomorrow's date. Yes, it is. Okay. So this is going out tomorrow morning. We got all this together today. We finished getting this together today, so we're going to be mailing it out tomorrow morning. So we'll be running the presses, so to speak, tomorrow morning and getting this out. Okay. It's a total of 13 pages. The first five pages our names. So it's, I think, eight pages at that point. Not even a full eight pages. But it is to the point. Information and writ mandamus. The purpose of this mandamus in this court of record is to remind our servants that we, the people, vested them with certain powers. And when servants abuse that power by creating unconstitutional agencies to spy on the people and imprison them for being a threat to unrestrained illegal activities of seditious servants, those seditious servants and those who aid and abet them are guilty of conspiracy to subvert the Constitution, and they are guilty of high treason against the people. This court of record was opened on May 13, 2015. You can find a copy of all documents filed in the federal district courts, including this one, at nationallibertyalliance.org/RICO. Terrorism against we, the people. Homeland Security's training for local law enforcement offers the following characteristics as a few of hundreds of identifiers of persons who is a potential domestic terrorist. These are those people who are expressions of libertarian philosophies, statements, bumper stickers, Second Amendment-oriented views, NRA, gun club memberships, holding a CCW permit, survivalist literature, fictional books such as Patriot and One Second After are mentioned by name, stockpiling food, ammunition, hand tools, medical supplies, fear of economic collapse, buying gold and barter items, religious views concerning the Book of Revelations, Apocalypse, Antichrist, expressed fears of Big Brother or big government, homeschooling, declaration of constitutional rights and civil liberties, belief in a New World Order conspiracy, non-consenting to searches. Militias are not terrorists. Veterans are not terrorists. Oath Keepers are not terrorists. Tea Party groups are not terrorists. Sovereign people are not terrorists. Campaign for Liberty groups are not terrorists. 9/12 Liberty groups are not terrorists. Libertarian groups are not terrorists. Members of National Liberty Alliance are not terrorists. Many other liberty groups are not terrorists. We the people are not terrorists. Spying on Americans is illegal and a danger to liberty. The FBI, Federal Intelligence Agency, military, state, and local police, private companies, firemen, and emergency medical technicians are gathering incredible amounts of personal information about ordinary Americans with no oversight, accumulating massive files that can be widely shared through new unconstitutional institutions like joint terrorism forces, fusion centers, and public-private partnerships. Five departments of the unconstitutional Department of Homeland Security, DHS, components have intelligence missions, including the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, U.S. Coast Guard, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the Transportation Security Administrations. The DHS Office of Intelligence and Analysis manages the intelligence activity of these components, provides an analysis, and represents DHS as a member of the federal intelligence community. At least one other DHS component in Federal Protective Services has spied on peaceful protesters and produced and disseminated intelligence reports, despite the fact it has no authorized intelligence mission. National Security Agency has built the country's biggest spy center, located in Utah National Guard Camp Williams in Bluffdale, Utah, housing a $1.5 billion, 1 million square foot, massive 20 building complex, becoming the largest, most covert and potentially most intrusive intelligence agency ever examining and proceeding all forms of communications, including the complete contents of private emails, cell phones, calls, tweets, and internet searches, as well as all types of personal data trails, parking receipts, travel itineraries, bookstore purchases, and other digital pocket litter. William Edward Binney, a former highly placed intelligence officer with NSA, after more than 30 years with the agency, turned whistleblower, resigning in October 31, 2001, shortly after the agency launched its warrantless wiretapping program, stating, "They violated the Constitution setting it up, but they didn't care. They were going to do it anyway, and they were going to crucify anyone who stood in their way. When they started violating the Constitution, I couldn't stay. The warrantless surveillance program, codenamed Stellar Wind, was far larger than as publicly disclosed and included not just eavesdropping on domestic phone calls, but the inspection of domestic email." The former NSA official, holding his thumb and forefinger close together, stated, "We are that far from a turnkey totalitarian state." Security of a free state belongs to the militia. We, the people, did not authorize government to spy on the American people, nor did we, the people, authorize government to create agencies for security. The job of security is an unalienable right that belongs to the people by a well-regulated militia, which is not to be infringed upon. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Spying violates the people's right of privacy and thereby is forbidden. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause and support by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or thing to be seized. Benjamin Franklin said, and we the people agree, any society that would give up a little liberty to gain a little security will deserve neither and lose both. National Liberty Alliance has a presence in all 50 states, and upon drawing from that pool in the spirit of Magna Carta, we the people have the authority and unalienable right to hold the title Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, with the purpose of arresting and bringing to justice in courts of justice suburbs of the United States of America. We, the people, have an absolute unalienable right and a duty to save our republic, our posterity, and ourselves by any and all peaceful means necessary, and if unlawfully attacked by the terrorists who have seized control of our government, we will meet such force with an overwhelming force provided by God and the Second Amendment before quoted. Abuse. We have received thousands of reports from across the nation of abuse perpetrated by judges ignoring the facts of law and incarcerating people without due process, and by federal agents trumping up charges, usually by labeling people as sovereign citizens. In contemporary vernacular, the term sovereign citizen has its root in a shootout following a routine traffic cop in Arkansas, which turned into a violent confrontation between police and a father and son pair of a so-called sovereign citizens. According to the corporate-controlled media, this event, which occurred on July 1, 2010, brought attention to a so-called secretive and dangerous subculture who believes American laws don't apply to them. In short, if you do not like some aspect of government, you are now one of the new domestic terrorists and should be subject to governmental controls outside the bounds of constitutional protections. The strategy is simple. If one criticizes the government in any form, they can be labeled a sovereign citizen. If the government can label one a sovereign citizen, then that citizen has no rights, and ostensibly the government can do whatever they will with that citizen. This is a very slippery slope, and the government and its police agencies are fully committed to this strategy. For more details, read the June 3, 2015 mandamus concerning terrorism filed on all 94 federal district courts found at nationallibertyalliance.org/RICO. On January 14, 2016, New Jersey Office of Homeland Security sent an unclassified intelligence note concerning the seizure Malhur of National Wildlife Refuge, see Exhibit A attached, making the following fraudulent allegations. False allegation number one. A sovereign citizen group, the National Liberty Alliance, which has a presence in Jersey, and some white supremacists have endorsed the takeover. Correction. It is true that National Liberty Alliance does have a presence in New Jersey as well as all other 49 states, and upon drawing from that pool in the spirit of Magna Carta, we the people have the authority and the unalienable right to hold the title Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Now that seems to be a repeat. I might go back and pull one of those out. NLA is not part of an alleged sovereign citizen group, but is in fact an assembly of people that provide a website for the purpose of facilitating a free constitutional education and that provides for the organizing and the assembling of the people to exercise their unalienable right of government by their consent and thereby return America to her roots. Sovereign citizen group. The existence today of a group called Sovereign Citizens is purely in the minds of those terrorists that have seized control of the United States of America by orchestrating the aid of the Bar Association, thereby using the corporations to overshadow our government, i.e., the People's Constitutional Trust, thus illegally and covertly subverting our republic and replacing it with corporatism. Had the unnamed OHSASP analysis visited nationallibertyalliance.org, they would have found the following disclaimer prominently displayed on the front page. Disclaimer: we are not part of the sovereign citizen movement. We do not endorse or entertain the fiction, such as bills of exchange, redeeming and or discharging through trust accounts, nor do we involve ourselves with contracts, commercial liens, and the exchange of an oath of office for a value. We do not encourage or teach people to write declarations, drive without driver's licenses, and revoke their voter's application, their birth certificates, or their social security numbers. The power of the grand jury is to write true bills of indictment, true bills of presentments, and true bills of information. And the courts are to respond with enforcement, but they have not. Had the unnamed Homeland Security analysis visited the link, they would also have found a message to law enforcement agents explaining who NLA is and its goals. And had they read the front page, they would have found that NLA upholds the principles of our founding fathers. The unnamed OHSA analysis, without rhyme or reason, maliciously named NLA alongside white supremacists, causing the reader to conclude that NLA is a hateful and radical group, when in fact they uphold, encourage, and teach the law of the land. National Liberty Alliance does not support the takeover of the federal building by the Bundys in Oregon. Where did the OHSP analysis get this information? Members of NLA have text messages and recorded phone calls to Ammon and Ryan Bundy telling them that they should not have taken the federal building and that they should leave NLA. They should leave. NLA does support Bundy's positions concerning the Hammonds. False allocations, number two. The leader of the takeover, Ammon Bundy, claims his group, the Citizen for Constitutional Freedom, occupied the building to protect the recent conviction of two Oregon ranchers who set fire to federal lands in 2001. Correction. In 2001, the Hammonds did a routine prescribed burn on their private property to improve the productivity of the range for the following year, calling the BLM fire dispatch for permission, which they received. The BLM was performing prescribed burns a short distance away. The fire moved into Hammond's grazing lands, burned 127 acres of public land, which caused no concern since these burns benefit the land health and productivity. However, the BLM reprimanded the Hammonds for not getting permission to burn on public land. The 2006 backfire was to extinguish a fire that claimed thousands of acres burning for days and was moving towards the Hammonds Ranch. The fire break saved the land, unlike the federal agents who vindictively set fires to ranchers' lands, cattle, and at least one home in an effort to intimidate them off the land. False allegation number three. This week, the sheriff of Harney County, where the standoff has taken place, publicly stated that militia members were parking outside law enforcement offices, homes, and intimidating their family. Correction. Former Harney County Fire Marshal Chris Briels caught the FBI posing as militia parked in front of the homes of law enforcement officers. False allegations number four. On January 5th, NLA on Facebook requested its followers to call the U.S. District Court of Oregon and file fraudulent papers demanding the release of the two Oregon ranchers. Correction. NLA did not request anyone to call the U.S. District Court of Oregon or to file any papers with the court. the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, under its own authority on December 31, 2015, filed a writ of habeas corpus, ordered to show cause in writ centura, on behalf of the Hammonds, of which all respondents defaulted, and therefore an affidavit of default was filed on January 8, 2016. Considering all the resources put into gathering information, it is inconceivable or unconscionable that the unconstitutional agency and its dozens of departments can get everything so wrong. Considering the tsunami of information pouring into NSA, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury can only conclude that they get it wrong on purpose to chill the people suffering from their abuse that are fighting back, and to chill those who discover the subversion against the United States of America. It is also our conclusion that since the CIA is not to operate on American soil, NSA was created to do what the CIA could not. And for all intents and purposes, NSA is an arm of the CIA controlled by foreign and domestic terrorists that have seized control of all three branches of our government. Wherefore, we the people command all governors to stop aiding and abetting the unconstitutional National Security Agency, all the departments of NSA, and all other unconstitutional institutions such as Joint Terrorism Task Force, fusion centers, and public-private partnerships that spy on we the people within their respective states. Governors are responsible for guaranteeing a Republican form of government. Were a governor to refuse to comply with our commands, that governor would become a conspirator of sedition. We the people command all governors to order all federal agents that are occupying state land under the guise of territories to leave the respective states immediately. And if federal agents refuse to leave, order all sheriffs within your respective states to dispossess any and all federal agents by force if necessary. Territories are a portion of the United States not within the limits of any state, which has not yet been admitted as a state of the Union, but is organized with a separate legislation and with executive and judicial officers appointed by the President. And got quite a bit of a note here on where this was commented on. Anyway, see writ mandamus, order to show cause, and writ centuri, dated January 13, 2016. The land and its resources belong to the people of the respective states, and the state is responsible for the proper management of the land to benefit all the people of the state and the United States through fair trade of its resources among the states. We the people command all senators and congressmen to shut down all unconstitutional agencies that are spying on we the people by striking as null and void all legislation that unconstitutionally created them. Each and every member of Congress is responsible for guaranteeing a Republican form of government. Were any senator or congressman to refuse to comply with our command, that one would become a conspirator of sedition. We the people command all senators and congressmen to demand all federal agents that are occupying states under the guise of territories to leave the respective states immediately. And then again, we quoted the territories, which we probably don't need. We'll probably pull that out, that quote, and it's doubled up again. We the people command all senators and congressmen to obey the Constitution for the United States of America, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 16, to immediately provide for the organizing, arming, and disciplining of the militia, and for the governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia, according to the disciplines prescribed by Congress for the security of a free state, as stated in the Second Amendment. Failure to do so puts the security of the United States of America in jeopardy. We the people command Governor Chris Christie and Director Chris Rodriguez of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security to immediately identify all John and Mary Does who fabricated the false information concerning NLA. We the people command Governor, we'll probably add in there what's going on in Oregon. We the people command Governor Kate Brown to end the tyranny in Harney County by ordering all the sheriffs of Oregon State to immediately dispossess the federal terrorist occupying Harney County. Sealed, dated January 26, 2016, signed by the grand jury foreman. And that brings us to the end. We do have an attachment here, the intelligence note, and that is on the, also on the paper. If you download the paper up online under news, second tab on the blue bar, click on news, and it is 160126. Homeland Security is a paper you want to get if you haven't looked at it yet. Okay, that brings us to the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get into anything, did you want to say something before we? Because I got a few things else to bring up.
I do have one correction on the paper that you have.
Sure.
And it's with correction number 4.
Okay.
We did actually ask members to do a call out to Oregon on November 4th. That was an email, and that might have been posted on Facebook, which is why they.
What did
they
we
might...
do? What kind of a call out?
It was a call out. It was the one that said that it was with the Bundys. We said to call and say, "I am a member of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury of your state, and we require you to respond to the habeas corpus."
Okay.
That was the call, but we never ever said anything about filing any
right.
paper. We
we'll
just said
fix spread that and make it more accurate. What allegation number was that? 3 or 4? You said
that was number 4.
Okay, we'll make a note because we haven't sent this out yet, and so we'll do that tonight or tomorrow morning before we run it off. So we caught a couple hours in here by reading it. It's helpful to read. You know, I can write,
right.
and I understand all this stuff, but I never think about pronouncing it until I start reading it. My pronunciation, some of these words, is a little difficult for me. But in any event, anything else?
No, that's all I have for now. So.
Okay. All right. We'll take care of that. Thank you. And we'll repost the paper once we make the changes. Okay. Let's see. A couple of things. We got a lot of work to do. One of the things we want to do is we want to send someone close by in every state, close to the federal district courthouses. We'll identify each one of them within each federal district. Because there's more than one sometimes within the district, but we'll identify the one that needs to be visited. And to see once if the papers have been filed or if they haven't been put in, if they've been removed or whatever the case may be. We want to discover what's going on here. We will probably proceed with a letter first, and then we'll have people go there to visit to collect the information. And so that people don't have to say too much when they go to look for that information, we'll let it be known by letter that we intend on going after any and all. And this will give them time and opportunity also to actually maybe file it so that when we come we can get a copy of filed papers. But we do intend on doing a large bulk indictment of many, many, many court clerks and many chief judges, and also various other people, particularly out in Oregon, and at some point in time soon. You know, a lot happened in Oregon. Gerard went out to Oregon. He's on his way back now. He hasn't gotten back yet. I think he'll do back very early this morning. So after tonight, tomorrow morning, he'll be home. He'll give a more in-depth record of what his experience was out there. We did have, Justice, how come I can't think of his name at the moment? In any event, we have someone else that was out there also, and Tana Justice, that's what it was. So Tana is going to talk in a minute or two and bring us up to date from his perspective what took place and what was going on out there and what we're doing, and we may talk a little bit about that tonight once we open the mics. But before we go get into that, I just want to say that we have about probably 30 or more. If everyone goes out to the welcome page, highlights the welcome, and clicks on Help Wanted, I think we have 35 or 40 vacancies yet in federal districts. We need to fill all 94 positions. Not so much of the like the District of Columbia and Guam and Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. If we can get someone out there, fine. But if not, we're not going to worry too much about out there in the territories. But we do want to fill up all these other positions. Now, let me give you, for instance, right now we have Jason in the District of Tennessee, Eastern District of Tennessee. But Tennessee was broken up into three districts. So that we can get started, we may talk with these people like Jason, and he'll probably handle all three until we can find someone to fill those vacancies. But we need to get people into these vacancies. We have one district of Vermont, and we have a vacancy there, and nobody in Vermont. We need someone in Vermont. We have a couple of districts in Virginia, but one of the Virginia districts is vacant, which is the Eastern District of Virginia. But we do have two people in the Western District, and one of those people may take up the Eastern District until we get someone out in that area. What we want to do is each one of these people in that district, and we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, each one of those people in that district is responsible for getting together all the state coordinators and working with them to organize every single county within their district, find a leadership for each county, and also get onto a campaign within their counties that they have no membership. And so this is how we want to organize the nation. Our entry into the court system will be through the federal district courts. There's no doubt about that at this point in time. Once we enter one, we enter all. Once we enter all, we enter every state. Because once we bring the law back into the federal district courts, we can arrest every judge that goes against the law in the state level, the county level, and the other levels. So the plan really is to organize the 94 and work down through the states and into the counties and really get leadership in the counties. We have all of the necessary tools at this point in time for learning. We have the civics course and we have the constitutional course. Anybody who hasn't taken either of them yet, I would suggest taking the constitutional course first because it's shorter and quicker. And that's something we really need, but we also need that civics course. That civics course is so important. It fills in a lot of gaps of how we got here and what's really going on and the history of America. So both courses are important. The handbook is in the process of being written. We've mentioned that numerous times. And that's going to be kind of, we're going to do probably one other course. Maybe, I don't know. First we'll see how the handbook turns out. Maybe we can deal with everything else inside the handbook, which will give details on how to run, for instance, orientation for juries, whether they be grand juries or trial juries. And other information and way to deal with things and places to get different kinds of forms and formats for filing papers and how to address the jury, particularly the grand jury, and how to be very careful not to express more inside the paperwork than what they really want to express. We have to be very careful with that because we have to write the papers for them. And they have to be the deciders, and we can't influence that decision. We can't influence their writing. We can only make it and put it in proper way for digestion and filing. But it's got to be their expression, and we can again. You try to influence that. That's called jury tampering. We don't get involved in that. We have these. Prosecutors that carry them around and move them around by rings in their noses, and they tamper with the jury constantly from the beginning right to the end, and they write things far beyond. So that's evil, and we're not going to do that. Okay. Another thing, we got a lot of mailing going out to a lot of people, and we're acting on faith. The till is just about empty. Bills are coming up due again, and we need money. And I hate to keep asking for money, but we need money. And there are a lot of people that have never given. We need people to give. And there are a lot of people that aren't given $5 a month or more. We need people to support. If we're going to continue doing what we're doing, we've got to be supported. We got this mailing going out, and at this point, we'll be probably broke by the time we get this next mailing out. But we have mailing going out next week, too, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. We need money. And things are not free. Not to mention the overhead for the site and all the other bills we have. So, but we got to get more money. Otherwise, we're going to be writing papers and we'll be sitting on them, and we're not going to be able to get them out. Our power and authority is in the pen, and filing in the courts. Believe me, the pressure is on. The pressure game is on. So, please support us. Get whatever you can to us, and let's move on. All right, we have no particular questions coming in. We have Tanner. Let's see if we can find Tanner. Hang on 1 minute. I'm going to open the Q&A up. I don't want anyone into Q&A, but I want Tanner. Hit star six, Tanner, so that we can unmute you and you can give us an update of what took place out there in Oregon and tell us your story. And then, of course, Gerard will be back next Monday. He'll add on to this. But Tanner, you should be unmuted now. Go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good.
Yeah, I just got back to my house literally just now. But where should I start? Any particular questions that you think I should
No, just
answer?
Your perspective, your perception, and so on. By the
Okay.
way, well, go ahead. We have someone else heading out, Bill. I think Bill's from Oklahoma. Is that right, Gary? Or does anyone know? Anyway, I think Bill's from Oklahoma. Gary, you're
Arizona,
from
I believe.
Arizona, right? You're from Oklahoma, right, Tana?
Yeah, I'm from
Okay, so
Oklahoma.
he's from Arizona. All right, Bill's heading back out there Thursday, so we'll have more representation out there. And but I do know. Well, go ahead. Tell whatever you want to tell, and then. Gerard can fill in whatever details after that.
Well, we went down there and we had a few things on the agenda to get accomplished. I think we at least touched on each one of those, so that was a good thing. There is a lot going on down there. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of confusion, and this thing has gone a lot of different directions. So you got a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. We wanted to meet with the Committee of Safety and help them legitimize or feel confident that they're a legitimate entity, and that was our goal there. Of course, they have other voices in their ear and other people getting Susie Hammond to sign some things, and that is what it is. They went that route, attempting to
Right, they're
keep up
going
the
down. Just
witches.
let me just make a note of this. They're going down the route that Colorado went down. Well, some people out in Colorado went down when we had the Colorado debacle, and they started wanting to do liens on judges and things like that. And one of the people leading the group out there is an ex-member of National Liberty Alliance, and we kicked them out for that very same reason. And he went out there and got I guess is Mrs. Hammond, the mother,
Yeah,
right?
Susie Hammond.
Got her
Susie Hammond.
to sign papers, which she was fearful of working with us because the government told her, well, not the, well, the courts told her, you mess with these people, we're going to make it hard for your husband and your son in jail here. We're going to put them into a much more undesirable prison. And so she's been fearful of really dealing with us. But they didn't warn her of other things, and somehow this individual has convinced her to sign papers, which puts her in jeopardy. And I want to just say this right now. This is a very serious problem because they are taking out people who are filing these kind of liens, and they're putting them in jail. Which means that this paperwork is filed. It is possible that they may try to put Susie Hammond in jail for this, and others. But go ahead, finish off the story. We will not connect with that situation. We separate
well,
ourselves.
But go ahead. We had a communication with the Committee of Safety, and there's a lot of confusion going on, and it was hard for people to understand what we were doing versus what they're doing. The fundamental difference, which I think is key, is, or at least the number one fundamental difference is that these people do not, they don't believe that after the grand jury makes a decision, instead of it being an indictment or a presentment, they believe that they should be the final jury, and they do not believe in a petit jury or a jury trial. So, you know, that's quite a bit different than a lot of other things. So the fundamental difference is they do not believe in the petit jury or the jury trial. You know, and if, you know, they go straight to doing what they were doing, then, you know, your history tells the story on that with the other people that have done that. And whether the world would be willing to try to play along with this new style of doing court or whatever that they claim is back before the Constitution. And anyways, so they're doing something different, and, you know, we can't force anybody to do anything. So there's that. And also, that same individual was on the media with Ammon at the ranch when we showed up, and we didn't know any of that was happening. So the public statement is this individual and the people that are helping him, and then also now with the Committee of Safety. So it's a little bit messy there. However, it didn't affect what we were doing. We just wanted to try to help them in the best way possible and help keep them safe and away from that kind of stuff. But, you know, we did our part to let them know. We still have communication with some of them, and I think that everything's on good terms. If anything is weird, they're welcome to call us, and they know that. I feel that they would be confident to hopefully give us a call if they could stick it out. They're very stressed, very scared. They don't know what to do. They try to do the right thing, and then they got all these voices. So I'm telling them that they're crazy and they're anti-government, and then others telling them you got to do it all these different ways, and, you know, so it's kind of I feel for them. I feel for them. They're in a very tough situation, and they're just trying to do the best they can to support the Hammonds and their wishes. So, you know, if anything ever happened to them, I would hope that we could support them in saying, look, they were trying to do their best.
Well, absolutely. The sad thing is they don't have the knowledge of common law and history of common law, history of how things really work and how the courts work, and therefore they don't know which way to go. Right.
And they reached out to us.
Up or down.
They reached
but
out.
But yeah, if they do end up in jail, which is, you know, once they sign those papers with that individual and their names are put upon those papers when they go out and file those liens, which is going for billions of dollars, they could end up getting arrested. And if they do get arrested, we will do habeas corpuses to work with to get them out. But they are in jeopardy at this moment. But go ahead.
Right. Well, we hope not. We hope, you know, I hope positive things happen all the time, but we don't know. And also, this individual was very emotional and yelling and screaming, and there's some bad blood, and, you know, who knows if God gives an opportunity for all that to be amended. But anyways, that's part of the chaos, you know. And then when we go down to the ranch, there's a guy that starts getting in a yelling match with Pete Santilli, and just a bunch of mess. So, you know, we try to be helpful. This situation is all over the place. So there was some very good contacts made, though. And, you know, looking someone in the eye and shaking their hand and letting them know that you're there for them and where your heart is makes a lot of difference. And no matter what happens, you know, that's at least what I wanted to represent and draw, you know, to those people, is that we're here anyways. You know, whatever you're doing, we want to help people. So that's what we're doing. And so I think that went a long ways. I met with Brandon Curtis of the 3%ers, talked to him about some stuff, and, you know, we gave our information out when we could. Our information is a lot of information for some of these people. It's a whole lot. So, you know, hopefully certain key players will at least look at it some, or pass that along to other people that they're connected with, and that will be helpful in the future. So, you know, I'm hoping for you know, something to come more solid of this, regardless of the paths everyone's taking, that that our paperwork can go to the end over there. But, you know, that's not in our hands, and we put everything in place that we can, you know, I guess. And Gerard and John, you know, could expand upon anything else as that goes along, too. Other than that, you know, I still have some contact that I'm hoping to be able to get through, but, you know, keeping in mind that these people are all very busy with a lot of situations. You've got the Ammons and people that want to protect them, and then you, Ammon Bundy and Brian Bundy and the people that want to protect them, and they're focused on that right now. And then you have the safety committee that's confused and lost and wants to move forward and wants to make sure that they have good, positive credibility and that they're not out to be crazy or do any harm. And you have split town, and you have split, you know, maybe not necessarily militia, but people like Three Percenters and Oath Keepers. They're divided about different things. So this is a kind of a volatile, messy deal. And then you have, I believe, was it the governor, John, that sent that letter out to basically ask the federal government to take action. I mean, crying out for physical action, basically, is what it says, if you had to make it real concise. So, you know, we hope that stuff doesn't happen like that. And a huge, huge learning lesson experience from going there, seeing firsthand what can happen when people don't know which way to go and there's no direction and the chaos, and then you throw in people that provoke things, provocateurs, whatever you want to call them, then you throw in all kinds of half knowledge and radicalism and excitement and, you know, emotions, and it's not a sound situation. And, you know, to learn and see that firsthand, you know, has helped me and Gerard and John and everybody that's been talking to kind of, you know, regroup and see, you know, how helpful in these things. And by the way, John, I do at some point need to talk to you about a couple of things from those learning lessons and run them by you and see what you guys think. But anyways, I'm probably missing something. I'm exhausted. But,
well, I did see on the video some, especially with Centelli's video, some provocateurs. I mean, they just were looking for trouble and holding signs.
That,
and, you know, it,
that
it
guy
was
with
just
the curly
terrible.
That guy with the curly hair that was holding the sign wanted to take the mic from Ammon, and he had a retort to him that he wasn't going to let him speak. And whenever the other gentleman was talking about common law grand juries to the media, I wanted to record that, so I held my phone up, and they started popping their head in front of my camera. But I don't think when they were looking at me that they didn't see a guy that was going to play that game when they looked at me anyway, so we'll just put it that way. So I just moved aside and kept recording. And they left me alone, and we stayed out of that mess. Definitely, you know, it's clear to see, you know, where trouble is and to avoid that. And so hopefully some of these things we've learned can help us greatly in the future in different situations and what we're trying to do to be more helpful. So I think that's it, unless anybody has any questions or something I forgot.
Right. Well, we appreciate it. And, you know, look at the National Liberty Alliance is blessed that we don't have that many provocateurs. They're discovered early before they can make too much damage, and we're able to get rid of them. You know, we have not been taken over in any way, shape, or form. We continue under principle. We're guided by principles, and therefore principles will always rule us. The day we stop being guided by principles is the day you're going to want to leave us. But we're never going to stop that. And,
right,
and unfortunately,
of course,
a lot of these other organizations and groups and different things like that people are trying to do, when they don't have the knowledge, they start to lean on people that they think have the knowledge, and that's where trouble comes in, and then they get hijacked a different direction, and they find themselves places where they don't really want to be. And that, unfortunately, I think is what's really going on out there. But, you know, look at the finger of God is in all of this, good or bad, and we'll just sit back and watch to see what happens, and we'll just continue to do the right thing as time goes on. It doesn't change any of our plans. everything we planned on doing, not one thing more or one thing less has changed anything, either direction. It would have been nice to be able to assist them and bring their paperwork into the courts through our paperwork and to give them a lift into the courts and also catapult them with a much more stronger voice, but and vice versa to some degree because there is a focus of some news out there. So that's the only thing that both sides kind of lose on that. But other than that, our intentions, our focus, what we're going to do, we've done the habeas corpus. We're filing papers on behalf of the state concerning the problem with the territories. We're going after these agents that have been out there terrorizing the people, burning up farms, or burning up land, shall I say, and cattle, and burning at least one house. I don't know if we can say plural houses, but we do know of one house that was burnt down by the FBI. These people are serious criminals. They belong in jail. We want to find them, and we're going to find them eventually, and we're going to put them in jail. Indictments will come down on these people and a lot of others that are out there, and again, also around the whole nation as time goes on. The question becomes is when do we file the indictment? And that timing is a sensitive issue, of course, but we are preparing for indictments, and that decision will come when it appears that it's time to do. So we're not sure.
Reminded me of a couple of things. One, I want to stress that the Committee of Safety reached out to us, and they wanted us, once they found out that there was a difference between us and these other guys, they wanted us to sit down and kind of come together and make something work. But that was absolutely unacceptable to the other side. So we showed up on good faith because they asked
us. It would have been unacceptable to our side, too, because there's no place for light and darkness. And I don't mean to call anybody evil or anything, but their tactics is wrongdoing.
What?
You cannot correct a wrongdoing with another wrongdoing. Lord teaches us, do unto others as you would have others to do unto you. And the problem that we are having is due process. That's the problem we have everywhere we go, due process. And so, therefore, these people are not giving us due process. They deny us due process, and they're just not going to give it to us. We have to take it. And we will take it, and we will get it.
And we don't want to do the same. We don't want to do the same to them.
And we then turn the things around and now have to, bring them before the court of justice. We're not going to ignore due process. What these other groups, the Anna group and this other group that's out there, for some reason I can't think of his name, but whatever it is. That other group out there that's doing this thing with the commercial things, we could never attach ourselves to that. We could never negotiate. That you should run if we did, because we're breaking principles then. And we're not going to take a wrong to fix a wrong. We're going to do unto them what they should have been doing to us, what we expect them to do unto us. Even if they didn't do unto us, we're going to do unto them what we want unto us. And so we're going to give them their due process, and we'll give them mercy. That's another thing that they never give any of us, mercy. We will always consider mercy in all things we do because that's the right thing to do. So, but anyway, go ahead, Tanner.
So basically, their heart was in the right place is what I'm getting at. They thought maybe there could be a negotiation. We knew that wouldn't be the case, but the point was to have a civil discussion of the differences and let them kind of decide, how they needed to proceed. But it didn't. It explosive, emotional, or the principles and proper attitude were not present in that meeting. So that's how that went down. Pretty volatile. And so, we try to avoid any.
I do understand we have a very good relationship with the fire chief that resigned recently.
Well, I mean, look, they made their decision, and I don't want to try to compromise any of those guys because they all have good talk. Everyone was very kind. Some of the members didn't show up, and then at least one of them left after certain individuals were yelling and pointing fingers and screaming things. So, those guys, I appreciate their hearts, and I think that they like what we were saying, and that they would trust some of what we presented to them, because we did present them our papers and kind of just give an overview of what it was. And so I will say that this is not a severed tie. It's just that we needed to step back because they had made a decision. So at this time, they're going that direction as per, in their minds, the request of Susie Hammond, and we have to respect that. Other than that, I'm not saying that none of these people would talk to us or wouldn't ask us for help or something like that, but I'm not going to say that they're going against each other or anything like that. I think they're in unison. They're going to try to stick it out the best they can. At such a time, they know that we're here for them if they need to change their path. So, and not just him, you know, I think the other ones kind of, you know, they appreciated how we approached the situation. And so, you know, I think that if any communication needs to be done, it's still there in general. You know, I don't want to pick any one of them out and say, you know, like one's doing different
than
the others or
anything. Right,
well,
we have Bill going out there again also on Thursday, and he's made a lot of ties out there, and he's got some friends. So
right. Now, on the indictment stuff, you know, I'm hoping, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of divided attention against good people doing good things out there, trying to do good. And I'm hoping that the message that we sent, even though it was in the midst of the chaos, they would see the bigger picture and that key players would be able to help us with something that the whole world could be watching with indictments and things like that. So, you know, I couldn't say that we have guarantees of anything, but it's in the works, and the offers have been made, and we're waiting for some follow-up on some of that stuff. So from where I'm seeing things, that would be the best result, because then the other stuff would kind of not matter as much, you know. But so there was the indictments. There's one other thing I was going to say, and I can't even remember it now. But one thing about the lesson of learning and the chaos and all these different things, I hope everyone has every opinion that could ever exist, because we're free people and we were born that way and we should be that way. However, I always try to remind myself, if I say something, is it helpful? Is it necessary? Is it kind? You know, like we hear that cliche. But however, when you see all these people saying all these things and everything, if we can keep those principles, we can remove ourselves from that chaos and be something that is of love and a sound mind. And when we do that, people are going to respond to that. No matter what they do or what path they end up taking, they're always going to remember the person that came with a sound mind that was only trying to be helpful and kind. And so if we can do that ourselves, then we don't distract from our message and our purpose. So if we have any members that have strong opinions, have them say what you need, freedom of speech. I love it, America. But if we can try our best to stick to that principle, we will not be something that harms other people and causes this kind of chaos. Because we can send the right message and have the right paperwork, but if we don't present it properly with the right principles and the way we act in our demeanor, then it can also hinder that. We'll look like the chaos that everyone else sees, and therefore we won't be as helpful. And that's just my two cents, and I'm off my soapbox. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tana. Okay. All right. Let me what I'm going to do is I'm going to clear the queue. All right. What I'd like first, before anybody gets into the queue, anybody who is new that may have a question or a comment, hit star 6. Let's get them the opportunity to get up here first. Also, anybody that was on a line over the past few weeks and was unable to get up to speak because they were at the tail end and we ran out of time, if they have a question or a comment, they can get into the queue. Anybody who hasn't spoken for quite some time, at least 3 or 4 weeks, or haven't been able to get onto the into the queue and get a question or a comment made. Let those people get into the queue again. And let's give another minute, a few seconds anyway, and I'll let you know when just about anybody else can get into the queue. So again, any of those groups of people, please get into the queue first. And now we'll go forward with anybody into the queue. So anybody who has a question or a comment, star 6 to get into the queue. Before we take our first caller, Gary, are you here? Do you have anything to share? Are there any questions? I haven't checked my email in a few days, so I don't even know if any questions have come in.
I think Gary already left.
He left, okay. All right, is there anybody else out there, Jen, that needs to make an announcement or bring anything up before we open the queue?
I just had one question about the district leaders meeting tomorrow. Do you have a room and a time for that?
Well, I'm not ready for district leaders meetings until we can get enough district leaders into the game. I mean, I want to meet with the national leaders who are all responsible for certain districts to see what they have been doing and if they've been able to find fill those positions yet that are missing in their districts. But once we get forward, it's got to be across the nation. We have to have all 94 districts filled before we really start to do things. And I'm kind of hoping to have one or two meetings. Hopefully do it in just one, where once we get all of the district leaders together and we bring them into one place, and we'll record this just in case some leaders can't make a particular meeting, we'll have it recorded, and sort of give the marching orders of exactly what it is we're trying to do, what it is that everybody needs to get done, and what their goals are. And then there's no need for meetings of these kind anymore. But the only other meetings they need to have within their own districts meetings to get action going, meetings to create committees around the states to go to liberty groups within their state in different counties to bring up our membership, especially in counties where we don't have any kind of leadership. Also, they need to be getting together to make phone calls to reactivate any state coordinators that have fallen asleep and county organizers that have fallen asleep, get them reactivated. And get them going, get them to know that we're coming close to that point in time. Critical mass is imminent, so we need to prepare for that critical mass. We need to be able to receive the critical mass, that flood of people. That critical mass is exactly what's going to spearhead us right into the courts. Look, we have a spearhead into the chink in their armor. It's in Oregon, and all we need is the critical mass to push it all the way through and break in. And then we will be very close to accomplishing our goals. And a goal, of course, a major goal that we want to do is save America by bringing law back into the land. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more complex than that. Every problem America has, I don't care what problem is, Agenda 21, I don't care the selling of land, the national debt, the possible collapse of the monetary system, the economy. I don't care what problem you put on the table. If we spearhead into the courts and reestablish law and order in our courts, every problem in America is going to be fixed within 30 days. That's not not an exaggeration at all. Because if we become a lawful people again and require the law to be applied everywhere, that's what fixes our problems. Our Constitution is what keeps us straight on a straight and narrow path. It's the Constitution and obedience to that Constitution by our servants and the respect of our Bill of Rights and all of our other unalienable rights. Once that happens, look at this debt. This national debt is not ours. It doesn't belong to we, the people. Created these corporations, they created a private bank, and all this debt that they built up, and they keep piling on our backs as if we created it. We keep saying stop spending, they keep spending. They've taken control of the controls, and they're spending their, look at it, it's their bank. We need to get our gold and silver back. That's what we need to do, and every nation in the world needs to do that. We all know where that is. We know where to get that at. Every nation could be brought back to where they belong just by going to these people that have been pillaging every nation in the world, starting wars and just raking in all the gold and silver from those wars and giving everyone monopoly money. So that's a no-brainer. And so every nation could be satisfied with that. And these people need to pay for all the evil and damage, murder, suffering. It's just endless. It's unspeakable. But again, all this is solved by one simple thing. Law and order. That simple. And that's what our goal is. And it's very close, I think, anyway. But we'll see. The finger of God is in this, and we'll see what he's going to do. All right, with that, I guess we'll take our first caller. So anyway, Is there a meeting set up for tomorrow, Jen?
Gary was suffering under the misconception, apparently, that you wanted one for tomorrow.
Yeah, I want one, but only with the national leadership.
Okay.
Only for the sole purpose.
He indicated all the district leaders were to be involved.
No, he misunderstood because it's too premature. So cancel that out if you could, and just make it the national leaders, which everyone needs to now come and give an account of what they've been doing to try to fill up these positions.
Okay.
And if they haven't been doing those things, they need to spend a lot of time tomorrow to prepare so they can give answer to this. Everybody's responsible now for what they needs to be done. And we need to fill these positions. Anybody out there listening here that can come in and become a leader within your federal district, please get a hold of Linda, Linda at nationallibertyalliance.org. Send her a note and say, hey, I'm in this state. If you're not sure of your district, give her your zip code. She'll find it for you, okay? But there is on the page of that Help Wanted page, there is a zip code finder. Not a zip code finder. There is a federal district finder by zip code. You put your zip code in, it'll tell you what federal district you're in. So get a hold of that information or just get your zip code to Linda, and she'll put your phone number and name down. We're only using first names. We need your last name to know who you are, but we need your phone number is what we need, because you'll be made contact by one of the national leaders. And as soon as we can fill those positions, we will have a meeting, which hopefully it'll only be one meeting. We shouldn't need any more than that. I doubt we'll need a second one. Then it's just going to work, because we need to get ready for success. We have to prepare for success. And if we're not, if we fail to plan, we're planning to fail. It's that simple. So let's get those positions filled. We're also going to address maybe the people that have three or four people in a district or a couple of districts within a state, and there's a district vacant. We'll have them work out to cover the certain districts until someone in those districts can take up those districts. But we encourage more than one district leader per district. Two or three is fine. Hey, the more the merrier, the more help you got, the more feet on the ground, the more work can get done, and the quicker you can get your state totally organized. The goal is for the districts to get totally organized, every single county, at least one solid, rock-solid leader in every county. That's what we need, and we need that across America. So please. Okay, so fix that for us, Jan. And let me know when the meeting is. It'll be a Skype meeting. It'll only be a 5 or 6 people, so, Okay?
Yep.
All right, let's take our first caller. Let me see first. Hey, before we do that, Tan has been unmuted again. Okay, well, maybe you can drop a note in my Skype if you're on Skype, Tana. Any idea when Gerard is due back, what time? He might have shared with you the time. I've called a couple of times, but his phone just goes right to message. So I guess he's on flights when I'm calling him. Okay, let's go to our first caller, which is... let's see. Oh, I apologize. I did what Gerard always does. I hit the wrong button. Let's go back. People.
You're well trained.
I know. I'm telling you, people who have never been on the mic. I'm going to clear the queue again. Okay. I want people who have never been on the queue before, people who are brand new, people who have been online in the last few weeks and haven't been able to get to it because the program ends. Or people who just never been into the queue. Let's get those people in first. I saw Stephanie in there. I don't see her there now, but, let's get into the queue. And I'll give you another minute or so, and we'll open it up to anybody. But let's give another few seconds before we open it up to the floodgates. Okay. Anybody can get into the queue again. I apologize for hitting that wrong button. I pulled a Gerard on everyone, huh? let's go to our first caller, John from Illinois.
Hello?
Yep, how you doing, John? Is this John?
Hello?
Yep, hello, what's your name?
Hey, it's Captain John, State Coordinator, Illinois. How you doing, John?
How you doing, John? Good.
Let's start out with some good news. I happen to be a member of RAMSITE. It's the Well-Regulated American Militia website, which is arguably the largest militia website in the country. A gentleman that's a spokesman for that group, who's a very sharp guy, unfortunately I don't have his real name, goes by the name of Firehawk. He's a very intelligent guy. He has his own radio show. He's a very calm, collected, well-thought guy. He gave us on the RAM site a superb review and endorsement a couple of days ago. He mentioned the NLA. He mentioned his members should join our group, should take our Constitution course, should take our civics course, that we got it right, that we're in Burns, Oregon, doing the right thing, and that their membership should get behind us. So I wanted to share that with you.
That's good news. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's all I got, buddy.
Okay. Appreciate it. That's good news. Did that come about because of our presence out there in Oregon, or it came from just another direction, unknown?
I would do a yes and a no.
Okay.
No, that, you know, he's been aware, they've been aware of us for a long time, and yes, that probably pushed him to make a public statement.
Okay, great. All right. Appreciate that. All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Okie dokie. Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, next question. It's 575 area code.
Yeah, this is JT in Santa Fe.
Okay, JT,
hello,
go right ahead. Yep.
Yes, I've been following the NLA and watching your Quo Warranto activity and the ever since you went through all the CPS cases and all these lofty goals. Can you point to anything that's been successful for NLA? You've claimed that you stopped Jade Helm, which is obviously not true because they had their exercise
right.
Without
well,
fail.
We never said that. I'm going to respond to all that. We never said that we stopped Jade Helm, but we suspect that we might have. We don't know what stopped Jade Helm. We know that they were hell-bent and they were kept changing dates and we were rushing to get a paper in. We did get a paper in about 2 weeks before Jade Helm was supposed to go full bore, and then it didn't happen.
Every problem in the United States within 30 days. How does that work?
I'm sorry?
You just
What's
said
your question?
That as soon as we get into the courts, within 30 days, every problem in America will be solved.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that is true. I believe that's a very accurate statement because, you see,
how stupid
we
do
are,
you think we are?
Well,
how stupid
me,
do these people are?
Let me give you some answers. Look, here's the bottom line. We are a country of laws. We are a republic. And once the people can come to realize that we're a republic and that we're a country of laws and we have to obey the law, which means our servants have to obey the law, once that happens, then every problem in America will and can be fixed. Because our founding fathers were brilliant. Well, our founding fathers, by the way, I'm going to just discontinue, but I'm going to finish answering your questions. By the way, someone else has just been unmuted. Just hang in there, 562. Just give me a minute. We do 30 days is just something off the top of our hat, so to speak. But here's the bottom line. All unconstitutional laws become null and void once we, the people, get into the courts and start bringing in and orientating the juries. We then will have the power, the full power, without question at any given time, to indict anyone who is disobedient in government. And we will always give them a warning first to say, hey, you're breaking the law, stop it, fix it. And if they refuse to listen, then maybe we'll give them the second final warning. Look, we're going to bring you up for an indictment, and we're going to just pull you out of office if you don't stop breaking the law. So maybe we'll do that second one. Depends on how serious it is. If they refuse, then we just go for an indictment, and I'm sure we'll get it, and those people leave office, and we'll fill up the void with someone who will obey the law. If you can force the President of the United States to obey the law, if you can enforce the fact that there's no such thing as an executive director that becomes some kind of law or overshadows something in some way to make people do things, because that's all BS, the President's only got, I think it's six powers, and that clearly is not one of them. And once you restrain him down to his six powers, legislators don't have the power to do 90% and more of the legislation they're doing. And all this legislation becomes null and void. Jails literally will be emptied out. We've become a prison state. We've got more people in prison than any other nation per population, I understand. And at least that's what I've heard. I don't know how true that is, but we do have a lot of people in prison. Goodness, they put people in prison that are trying to pay child support. Maybe they lose their job, and they don't care that they lost their job. The payment isn't there, and they'll throw them in jail. I mean, that's how seriously defunct. That won't happen no more. People will not lose their children no more. They better go through due process. People will not be brought into courts without due process of law. They will get a trial by jury at every case, and they'll have to require any kind of a criminal thing has to have an indictment by a grand jury. And a grand jury can never indict if there's no injured party, and the subject and the state cannot be the injured party. It's that simple. So all of that fixes everything. I can't think of one problem. Agenda 21, out the window, overnight, gone. Okay, just gone. NSA, overnight, gone. They can't continue. It's unconstitutional. They don't have any authority or right to spy on the people. Look at Congress better get their act together, and they better get out there and obey the Article 1 of the Constitution. I believe it's Section 8, Number 16, I believe, Clause 16, which is providing for the militia. We read that tonight on our paper. They need to get out there and obey that. We the people, are the security of a free state. There is no way to guarantee a free state but with and by the militia. We the people will do it in our own state. And so, again, we get rid of all of this spying, all of this crap and junk. Look, we have news medias that are not obeying the law. How much we have sent out? I have sent every paper to about 6,000 news media outlets across the nation, every single paper, and I haven't heard back of any of them being repeated, being printed, or reported on. What's going on? Okay, that's not going to happen no more. You have all of the network newses, they're gone. They have to go. Why? Because they've been aiding and abetting the people who are trying to subvert the United States of America. Those corporations, those companies are gone from news. We're going to pull their licenses. The grand jury will do indictments everywhere and take care of all of those problems. Why? Because they've been aiding and abetting. And it needs to go out to people who are actually going to report the news. We don't need their opinion. We want them to report the news. We don't want them to tell us what the news is. We want them just to report the news. Give us the facts. Give us both sides. Give us three sides. Just give us the facts. The people will digest that. That's news. Anything more than that is opinion. And it needs to be called that. It's not news. It's something else. The political process, all of the politics will disappear. Why? Because there'll be no more payola. It's all illegal. All of the special interest monies that is being given and taken by our so-called representatives who are representing them and lining their pockets with money and doing the will of corporations and not of we the people and ignoring our liberties, ignoring our freedoms, ignoring what we need as a people and destroying the American dollar, destroying everything. They've destroyed our manufacturing base. They've destroyed so much of our business, our farming communities. Everything's been totally owned by a few large corporations buying up everything. They've ruined our food. We don't even get grass-fed cows anymore. They're filled with grain and paper. Cows are not meant to eat grain. That's what they feed them, grain, and they put 15% of paper inside there. You're eating. That's why meat tastes so terrible. You know, I go to a local place where I live to get my meat, and they're grass-fed, okay, grass-fed. So this is what, once you apply the law, all this stops. If we become a lawful people again, if we require all of our representatives to obey the law, Or we're going to pull you out of office. You're going to do the right thing or you're gone, buddy. And we require our sheriffs to understand and know the Constitution and apply the protection of we the people of that Constitution. When we bring the militia back and all the things we just spoke about, everything goes away. And it literally goes away almost overnight. 30 days? Maybe it's 60 days. But maybe it's 15 days. I don't know. I just pulled off the top of my head 30 days. I think that's very reasonable because everything is going to stop. Why? Because once they see we're going after this one, they know we're going after them. Before we even say anything, they know, and they're going to start straightening up. And that's fine. They straighten up, we're good. We won't chase them unless we get a complaint about them from an injured party. Now we have to deal with that injured party, of course. But other than that, we always got the olive branch out there, the opportunity for people to do the right thing at any given time. They can repent and turn onto our side, and we're not going to chase their past sins. Look, if we chased everybody's past sin, every single elected official, every single judge, every single prosecutor, every single bar attorney would be in jail. We don't want to do that, okay? We're not looking to do that. Obey the law, buddy, and that's all we want. Do the right thing. If you're gonna get up there and be a servant, be a servant. You're not our master. If you think you're our master, we're going to take you out. So, yes, 15 days once we're in the courts. We are not in the courts yet. We are filing papers in the courts, but we are not in the courts, controlling the courts as the people should do in order to consent to their government. That's the power of the people. We have government by the consent of the people, and we consent through the jury box. We consent through the grand jury. We consent through the trial jury. That's how we consent. Yeah, no, you're not going to do that, or yes, we will let you do that. We, the people, will either indict or not indict. But right now, people don't even understand that they need to step up and do indictments. And that's what we're teaching here. People need to get involved and see that the law is being broken and do something about it. And that's what we're trying to teach people to do. So I know the caller that was on here, he was really just here to destroy, but I think he helped us. He helped us answer a lot of questions. If anybody wants to dig deeper in these things, ask some more questions in those areas, and we'll try to be more explicit and more detailed in the answers to those questions, because they are good questions. But I think that person thought that we would get hurt by the asking good, solid, true questions, because we will give a good, solid, true answer to the best of our ability. Okay, 562, you've been unmuted. You got the mic.
Good evening to everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
First name
and state.
I'm Corey from Washington State. I'm very new to the organization. I'm a learner, and in the midst of learning, I have no questions. I've been in politics for many years. I have some history in campaigning. I've been keeping up on issues. I came across your website via another website of people who were touting what the possibilities could be. And so I'm here to learn. I'm here to progress, and I'm here to get as much involved as I can.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you. And, you know, we need the only the people can save America. It's the first sign you see on our website. And the people have to step up. And if the people, as Jefferson said, if the people, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So we have to get educated. We have to know the Constitution. That's why we give a free constitutional course. We don't ask anybody for money for that. And we also give a free civics course. And that course is a pretty long course. It's a 120-hour course, a lot of video and audio in it. But let me tell you, when you get through it, you're going to know exactly why America got to where she got. And you'll have a good idea on how we can get it back, because once you see what we're doing, it's going to counteract all those things and bring us right back to where we belong. You know, the interesting and amazing thing, the difference between good and evil, evil takes a long time to construct, to deceive, to connive, to destroy, to dismantle, and to, you know, just destroy things. It takes a long time. But good, in the stroke of a pen, so to speak, just standing up and just doing the right thing, everything falls apart in evil. And so you see, all we have to do is the right thing. And right now, the right thing is bring justice into the courts. You bring justice into the courts, you brought justice into all three branches of government. And once you've done that, then this government is starting to operate and doing what has to be done. You know, the CIA is out there causing all kinds of havoc across the world. They're not performing any real good job, per se. Not to say that the CIA isn't needed, but they need to conform to the law. They need to stop causing trouble and making wars and becoming the puppets or the under the control of ultimately the people who actually own the world or think they own the world. And to some degree, they do own the world. And I heard a news on the news recently Just in passing, it was just in a regular news channel on radio, and just in passing, they mentioned a point of something, an interesting point, an interesting truth, and that is that there are 56 of the richest people in the world. 56 of them have more money than the money in the entire world that everyone else has. They have more money than all the people of the world together combined. 56 individuals or families or people. So that's an amazing statement. Those are the people that run the world. And to achieve that kind of money, you know, usually something very fugazi is taking place. And we do know people making that kind of money, that's a club. You don't get into it unless they allow you to get into it. So anyway, anything else?
Not for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Okay. Doug, it looks like from Colorado. Are you a VoIP caller?
Yeah. Hi, John.
Hey.
This has gone a long ways from where I first got in the K for, but it's kind of interesting. The well-regulated American militia site the gentleman called in about, the Firehawk, his real name is Doug Lamb, and that is on his site. I'm not divulging anything secret or nothing. But this weekend, I recruited a new member who I met through their site, and he's the one that put up a blog post that Doug Lamb or Firehawk replied to and gave mega kudos to the NLA as the only option to massive bloodshed. And that's why I joined this group, is because that's how I see it. But
appreciate
let me back up a little bit further to what's going on in Oregon right now. And that call, just, you know, talking about the confusion and the chaos and the breaking of unity there, just brought to my mind how much this is a spiritual battle, more so than a legal or battlefield battle. It's, first of all, a spiritual battle, and I would personally like to call everybody who has it in their soul to join in the intercession in this thing. That call personally brought me back to a prayer journal. That's something I used to do years ago and haven't for a long time. And I started writing down specific things as far as the confusion, the chaos. We know who the ruler of that is. And we can be very effective on our knees as well as in the courts. And anyway, backing up to my original reason for getting into the K, let's see, let me get back to it here. The paper you read tonight is, it was paragraph 190. You made a correction to one of the false allegations. You said former Harney County Fire Marshal Chris Brills caught the FBI posing as militia parked in front of homes of law enforcement officers. And I don't know, that may be well true, but I watched a video where he himself, Chris Brills, he told a story of, there was a call that militia members were messing around in the armory, and he was in the area. He drove by and saw, I believe, six guys get in the car and haul ass. He followed them, and when they got out, he confronted them. Long story short, they were FBI. And that one I saw him.
Yeah, that story we're aware of also. But I will double check on this information concerned.
Yeah.
This is coming from people that are out there, that this guy has reported this, but we will confirm
Great.
It. Probably Gerard when he gets back. This isn't going to be completed till tomorrow morning anyway.
Sure.
Gerard might be able to confirm that statement. Or maybe Linda, because Linda's been looking at a lot of stuff. She might be able to confirm that story. But this is the story we've got. But go ahead.
Absolutely. I'm done. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, we appreciate that. All right. Thanks a lot, Doug. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Our next caller is 415 area code. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. This is Donaldson, Jeremiah Donaldson from Northern California. I just became a member a few days ago, and then today I signed up for the civics course. But I've been studying law for about 5 years. So just first of all, I was recommended to sign up. I never heard about NLA until Wonder Ann from the Health and Wellness show on Talk Show, Health and Wellness in the Golden Age. She recommended that I take the civics course and become a member and said that you guys were looking for somebody. So I emailed Rich. I guess I got in touch with Rich, and he was excited to hear about the fact that I would be willing to do some research for you guys. And so I went and spent all day today at the library. Well, 2 hours. That's like my day, right? I'm so lazy. So I spent time at the law library today looking up some, verifying some cases that he had put, wanted some information on. So definitely I'm here to do research. I do have access to a law library, and I just want everyone to know that I have studied the bar exam for constitutional law, and I haven't taken the exam yet, but there is a lot of information that people are not seeing, and it hurts a lot. Actually, it breaks my heart to see so many people confused. Go ahead.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And what you might want to do is get a hold of Robert or Gary or Jen. They're national leaders. You can find their numbers, their name and number up on our board. Goodness, what do we call that board? It's directory, okay? Just click on the directory. You'll find one of the national leaders. And tell them you want to connect with the group that we put together. Lori is spearheading that group. We got about five or six people gathered together there, and we can always use more people who are going to do some deep research for us. And we need facts. You know, we got to get to the facts, the details, the proof, the documentation, affidavits, all those things. And so if you want to work with that team, just get a hold of one of those leaders.
Law Advisory.
Well, yeah, that's another group. We've got quite a few groups, but there's a group that answers directly to me that's doing research that I need done for the purpose of the paperwork that we are writing.
Yeah.
And
right.
So we need some research on that level.
Okay.
Other people will be assisting, too. So, I mean, they'll be helpful. But if you want to get right onto the team that's actually going to be rolling up their sleeves and in it on a regular basis, you want to tie it directly into that group.
Yeah, and Jen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Tanner says he has some really important point that he left out, and once we're done with this call,
unmute him. Find him. Can you find him and unmute him? Or maybe Jen can find him and unmute him? All right, let's finish with this call first.
Okay.
You know, let's do this. Let me just read something here, because I did go to the law library today, and I might as well just go ahead and read something that I pulled out of a case. Called Hoke versus Henderson from it was actually overruled in part by in 1903 by Meal versus Ellington. But anyways, the part that I was actually going to reference says that the public liberty requires that private property should be protected even from the government itself. The people of all countries who have enjoyed the semblance of freedom have regarded this and insisted on it as a fundamental principle. Long before the formation of our present Constitution, it was asserted by our ancestors on various occasions, and in one sense of it, its vindication produced the Revolution. At the beginning of that struggle, while the jealousy of power was strong, and the love of liberty and of right was ardent, and the weakness of the individual citizen against the claims of unrestricted power in the government was consciously felt, the people formed the Constitution of this state, and therein declared that no free man ought to be taken, imprisoned, or disseized of his freehold, liberties, or privileges, or outlawed, or exiled, or in any manner destroyed or deprived of his life, liberty, or property, but by the law of the land.
By the way, that quote comes directly out of the Magna Carta. You may know that already, but go ahead.
I'm done. That's cool.
Okay. Yeah, that quote comes directly out of the Magna Carta. And I know that I mentioned this earlier this evening, that Anton Scalia, in a recent decision, him authoring the decision, I forget the name of the case. I'm looking for it as I'm speaking at the same time. But he... June 15th, 2015, which is exactly the 800-year anniversary on the very same day, is when he made wrote a decision in the court, and he made reference to the Magna Carta in the court. And we did use that reference to the Magna Carta, I think in the paper before last we used it, and I got it right here. It's a due process case. And it's the case Kerry versus Dinn, decided June 15, 2015, against Scalia, writing for the majority. The Due Process Clause has its origin in Magna Carta. As originally drafted, the Great Charter provided that no freeman, again repeating the very same thing, no freeman shall be taken or imprisoned or be diseased of his freehold or liberties or free customs, or be outlawed or exiled by any otherwise destroyed, nor will we not pass upon him nor condemn him, but by lawful judgment of his peers or by the law of the land. Magna Carta, referencing chapter 29, and he also references Coke and also the second part of the Institutes of the Laws of England, number 45 in 1797. So, we're getting a lot, and this is really, I look at this as being a message from Scalia to us, because we have been riding on his decision of 1992, United States versus Williams, where he lays out the power and the authority of the grand jury, and how it is an arm of the government all on its own, a branch all on its own. And that all other government answers to them. And that's the key here. And the principles of the Magna Carta, which is what we have really drawn upon, where the four individuals are chosen to go out and deal with the problems and then bring it before the 25 should they not be able to settle it. That's what we designed, what it is that we're doing in the courts today. So we're on really good, strong foundation. I think Scalia... Again, he had we filed the paper to Scalia recently, giving him some commands along with the other eight justices up there in the United States Supreme Court out there in Washington, and I think his answer, we were met by silence by them, but I think this is his way of answering at the moment. His time to rise may not be, and I think at the time when it's necessary, I have a feeling that Scalia is going to rise, and I think some others are going to rise with him. Look, they are being suppressed and depressed just like any other part of our government is by these people, the oligarchy ultimately that is behind our executive, and it's really the people controlling and pulling the strings and controlling Congress and the purse of Congress and our money and our executive and even our courts and courts
of fiction. Go into the rule real quick. This is the last thing I want to say, and then you can go on to the next caller or the previous caller. The rule of decision in all of the courts of this state of California shall be the common law of England. That is California Civil Code Section 22.2.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Is it fair to say that the policies and the administrative procedures don't trump the common law? Okay, not even UCC can trump common law.
Correct.
Well, that would definitely be actually a question for you to see if UCC could trump common law. But
with
no,
regards
not
to the 22.2.
Because
go ahead.
UCC is legislative. Look at common law is natural law. It's the law of the land, which is, look at, it's natural law. It comes from God. It's the principles of the Bible. And once you leave the principles, then you've left common law. And any kind of a code or statute that is written that is contrary to common law and the liberties of the people is null and void. And if you go just to the Bill of Rights, you know, our founding fathers were brilliant. I mean, I am so amazed at the minimum that they wrote and yet the maximum that they said.
Mm-hmm.
And the control that they have set forth in such little bit of words. And, you know, the Bill of Rights in itself is so powerful. And remember, all of the Constitution is interpreted by the Bill of Rights. You can't apply anything in the Constitution that would affect any power or authority to legislate or do anything if it violates an unalienable right that's one of the 10 bills that's listed in the
right,
Bill of Rights.
Right, but we have an issue when states don't adopt the Bill of Rights because they deem them not to be fundamental.
Our founding fathers were so brilliant, they wrote Article 6 of the Constitution. The law of the land that all judges must obey, and all constitutions or laws in any state to the contrary, notwithstanding, they fall before them. You see, the Union of the United States, they did agree upon the law of the land, and no state can go outside the law of the land. It is such a tightly woven, constructed body of work that controls every aspect of our law, and it does it so beautifully with maximum liberties. And there's nothing. You can go into any court. You can just walk in with your little pocket constitutional book. You walk into any court. You rule the court once you start bringing out this information. And any issue, jurisdiction to begin with. If it's not a court of law, and we have Black's Law and many others that we can refer to, what is the interpretation of the law? What is in law? What is the law of the land? Well, it brings us right back to common law. And any court operating outside of common law, including equity courts, because there's the common law court and there's equity court. And equity court runs under the rules of common law through American jurisprudence. And so you can't get away from it. You pull out this book and you shut them right down. Now, the problem is they're not listening to this book. And they've gone so far off the reservation, and they're living so far in the fiction, in the de jure court.
That's right. We got to bring them back.
Well, that's right, what we're doing.
Let's
we're going to bring them back. We're going to reel them back in. All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, let's go over to Tana. Is Tana unmuted?
Yeah. Sorry about butting back in again, but I realized what I was saying might have been a misnomer in a sense. The confusion and everything I'm referring to is over the issues and how to deal with them and, you know, all that stuff. But I do want to say something about the people of Harnett County and my experience out there in Burns and over out at the refuge. These people were just regular, good old people, my experience. The people at the motel were nice. We went and ate at restaurants a couple different times. People were just going to the restaurants and eating. There wasn't people in bunkers hiding. It wasn't utter chaos everywhere. And even after people were yelling and screaming, which I'm sure was all that was put on the media, you know, people were just hanging out and shaking hands and discussing topics, even people that disagreed about things. It wasn't a big – there was no sense of fear. At one point, even police came and met with the president of the 3%ers. I have no idea what that was about, but there was a piece of paper handed back, and I don't even know if I should say that, but I witnessed it. There was no tension, there was no violence, there was no threatening as far as, you know, any of the people that live there. None of that's going on. So it's not a war zone down there. You know, you can pull out on the road and go right down to the restaurant, and they're open, and you can eat some food and go back to your motel, and there's not police everywhere. There's nothing. I even got pulled over because I was going fast, and I didn't know what the speed limit was, and I'm not saying that I agree with everything that's existing, but I'm just speaking to the manner of the people. The officer was polite. He was respectful. He wasn't harassing me. He wasn't poking, prodding. He gave me a warning. He said that he just would like me to not go more than 10 over the speed limit. And then, well, you know, and we went about our business. So I just wanted to make sure that I didn't paint a picture that was incorrect about the state of the community. I think it's a great place. It was awesome. It was a beautiful place. And the people were just, you know, just hanging out and doing what they do. You know, I'm sure that there's some discomfort with all the situation and everything, but you almost couldn't tell. You know, there weren't people running around. They didn't stare at me. I'm sure they knew I wasn't from around there. No one mistreated any of us anyways. And so just wanted to put that out there that the people there are very polite. It was a great community. And there isn't what I heard before I saw it firsthand. It wasn't the governor or whoever needs to write to the FBI to come take physical action or anything like that. I mean, everyone can have their opinion on that, but there wasn't anything that was explosively violent or chaotic. People weren't hiding in fear. There was none of that. I didn't witness any of that. So that's all. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tanner.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. All right, let us move on to our next caller, and that is Dave, California Dave. How you doing?
Oh, thank you, John. How are you? I like what you say about focusing on the 94 federal districts. Can you share your vision about how you're going to concurrently prime the pump for the marshals, kind of like you did for the sheriffs?
And we're working on the marshals right now as well as we're working on the sheriffs. As a matter of fact, our next paper is going to be directed to the sheriffs, and particularly we're going to name every single sheriff in Oregon, and maybe a few outside, I'm not sure yet, but particularly the Oregon sheriffs. And of course, you know, look at everything we file in the courts and we serve upon these people. It is also faxed or emailed, and both, actually, mostly faxed. We got the faxes of everyone. Some of them are bad faxes, but that's just the way things are, and we're trying to fix those. But we've got the faxes of all the elected officials on the federal level and on the state levels, and they're all 50 states. And we got all the emails for all of the sheriffs, and we've got all the fax numbers for all the sheriffs. We got the fax numbers for the marshals and the FBI special agents in charge. We have even got the fax numbers to the can't think of the name. But in any event, we've got fax numbers for everybody. And so every time we write a paper. And we also have emails about 5,000-6,000 news media, news outlets across the entire nation. And I'm sure we have. I got to talk with Gary about this, but I'm pretty sure we're also faxing to news medias. And so, all in all, every time we write a paper and send something in, it's going to some 20,000, 25,000, maybe even 30,000 people. Literally across this nation. And it's the people that count, the people that are at the cutting edge, the people that are supposed to be doing the right thing. And amongst those people, you know, we see and hear little things from all of the federal levels and all of the state levels, you know, and the county levels, sheriffs, you know, a little sort of a nod and a wink type of thing, not in a literal sense, but we hear these things. We see these things. And sometimes we get it right out. We're there. We're going to be there. So there's a lot of people on the inside that may appear to be doing nothing, but they are in there. They're hanging in, and they're getting ready, just like everyone else is getting ready. But the ultimate thing is it needs to be done peacefully, if at all possible. And I do believe it's going to be done peacefully. God is not on our side. Not at all. We are on God's side. And how do you get onto God's side? It's not because of what we're doing. It's how we're doing whatever it is we're doing, okay? You know, you could be in the movement here doing what we're doing. You could be in a different movement doing something totally different. You can be working in the political realm. You could be working with the Oath Keepers. You can be in the FBI. You could be in the court system. You could be anywhere, okay? Anywhere. Whatever it is that you're doing, just doing the right thing, the godly thing. And that puts you on God's side. So we're here doing what we have to do because we feel that we've got the call, we've heard, we've got an understanding, we've got an appreciation of the problems, and we therefore we have a duty to do something about it. We have a duty to save liberty. We have a duty to bring justice back into the courts with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. We need to bring the King of the Court, Jesus Christ, right back into that court, and that's reseat him back where he belongs. And of course, this, you know, we believe that that's his will. But in any event, we're going to do it rightfully. We're going to stand on principles. And as long as we do the right thing, then we are on God's side. And if he be for us, who can be against us? And we know that the finger of God is in all this because we've made lots of decisions and we're going to go this route, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other thing. And then all of a sudden we get a closed door and another door opens up and we head the other way and things work out better than we could have done to go in the other direction. And we trust that that is the finger of God opening and shutting doors. And again, we will continue to be blessed as long as we continue to do his will in whatever it is that's before us. Every moment and every second in a day is a decision. And the question is, are you doing the right decision? It doesn't get any more difficult than that. Just make the right decision at the moment that you have to make that decision in whatever it is you're doing in life. And then you'll be blessed for it. So I see the finger of God in this, and I don't know how the end results is going to be. I trust that no matter how it ends up, it's going to be the best for all of us because, you know, all things work together for those who believe. And we're trusting in him, because if we go up against these people without God, we're losing. These people are way too powerful for us. We can't possibly succeed. But God can do it, and that's the key to what we do here at National Liberty Alliance. Anything else, Dave?
Yeah, it seems like the activity that you're doing at the federal courts is going to create a huge magnetic attraction to new members because of the prominence of the federal court, and that there's, you know, 94 federal courts versus 3,000 county sheriffs. Can you tell us any particular strategy you have for promoting the activities at the federal level to attract new members?
Right. Well, look, we know that we've come to discover, and it wasn't our plan, this, but it becomes obvious to us now, this is the way we should have been focused, but, you know, we may not have been focused in the beginning this way. But we've been led here, and we've come to understand this, and so therefore we've altered our thinking, and our plan, our goal has never changed, and our principles have never changed. But, you know, things we do or not going to do, that has changed over time, discovering, because we're in the school of hard knocks. So every time we have an event, every time we have an experience, we learn something, and you know, more of the mathematical things put together, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and all of a sudden 2 + 2 = 4, and you just work it out. Everything is ultimately mathematical, so to speak, anyway. So it's experiences and the piling up and the intermingling of these experiences that gives us our vision that we might have some kind of a special realization. But what we did understand and realize is that, look, we're going to enter into the federal courts, and we have to control the influx of people. You know, we've got thousands of members. We have tens of thousands of people that are watching us and kind of following along, but they haven't necessarily joined our membership. We hear about this all the time everywhere we go. We have name recognition. People that are looking into what we're doing are realizing that this is the way. This is the only peaceful path. And we're going to execute it to the best of our ability. But, you know, we have 3,143 counties, and we have to get four administrators in each one of those counties. So right there is 12,000 to 15,000 people that we have to get into positions. And once we hit that critical mass will be met at the same time we spearhead the courts, and because the critical mass will be what forces us into the courts. And therefore, we're going to get an influx of a lot of people who have not learned the principles that people that have been with us for a while have learned. They haven't learned, you know, they're coming in with being a little angry. They're coming in maybe for a little vengeance. They want to get this problem solved, and they're antsy, and they haven't got the principles of holding back yet and being the tortoise and not the hare, and that we have to follow principle in front of the expediency. And they haven't learned those things yet. And so we do need a good, strong backbone leadership to be able to receive these people, to teach these people these things, and keep this straight and focused on righteousness and justice. Because if we lose sight of that, we just become them. If we leave a sense of an honor and justice and mercy, we just become them. If we deny them their due process, we just become them. I don't want to be them. And so we have our core of people that have been with us a long time, and these are the people that need to step up and take the position so that when these flood of people flood in, and there's going to be a flood, thousands of people at some given point in time, and we have to be able to receive these people and start to educate these people and allow them to come into positions that in their counties to take these positions of leadership as administrators, you know. Well, this all has to be controlled somewhere, and it makes sense if we can control it from 94 places, which means every federal district, each side, inside every federal district, there is a, so many counties. Some states only have one federal district. Some states have four federal districts. So, but there's so many counties inside each federal district that it's a lot easier to control that way. And anybody that is a state coordinator, if they want to be a also a district leader, by all means, you can hold two positions. You can hold three positions. You could be a county organizer. You could be a state coordinator. And you can be a district leader. And why? Because they're all doing the same thing. They're organizing their state. They're organizing the district. They're organizing the state. They're organizing the county. They're bringing a new membership. They're training people. They're doing the same thing. So you can hold all those positions. And at some point, you know, we'll get right down to the bottom line. It's just county positions because the state positions aren't necessary anymore. When we get into the courts, the district positions won't be necessary anymore. If you have, let's say, we'll make it simple. Let's say we have 30 counties in a federal district. Let's take New York, okay? New York has 62 counties. And of the 62 counties, we have four federal districts, okay? So let's make it easy and say 60. So that's 15 counties per federal district, okay? Well, if something comes up where they need to draw a grand jury or a trial jury in a federal district, all they need to do is come into the county where they claim the crime has taken place or whatever the case may be, wherever the offense took place, that county would be able, which has administrators for that county, will be able to pull together a grand jury for that federal district. And when an event takes place in a different county, then that county will draw the people from their county. Because, again, remember, this is of your peers, a jury of your peers. And we want to try to get them down to the county at bare minimum. So you want to draw the jury from that county. So federal courts can reach down, and we will be able to administrate right from the county level to even to the federal courts. So everything will work from the county level. It's the grassroots level. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where the people know the people and know what has to be done. And they will learn as time goes on, and we'll learn from each other. And we'll always be here for giving advice. And, you know, people will research things that we don't know, and we'll discover the answer. We'll work together, and we will become as qualified as any human being could be qualified in these positions over a reasonable, time period. But all of the control, there's got to be a place to control the people so they don't come in half-cocked, ready to do evil, trying to claim good, because people have to put it into perspective. And if people think they're going to come in here and do it without God, then they don't understand what justice is. Justice, Black's Law Dictionary and others make it very clear that justice is synonymous with virtue. And virtue comes from the hem of God. And so it draws back, it comes out of God, period. So, you know, these are the principles we come in. If we're going to put the king in the court, then we're going to put the king in the court. I'm not the king, you're not the king, and Obama isn't the king, and the judge in the court isn't the king. Jesus Christ is that king of the court. Jehovah is the king of the court. And that's who we have to put there. And therefore, it's his law and his principles and his guidelines that we have to reflect. So, again, this 94, working in 94 districts, seems to make the most sense of how to control the influx of people when the floodgates open, we hit critical mass. And believe me, if you watch the numbers, we're approaching critical mass. So that's where we're at.
Okay, thank you. And about how much money would you say NLA needs for the next 90 days?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we get enough money every month to pretty much pay the bills. And then we get a little more extra to be able to send papers in. But we don't get enough money to be sending papers in the way we're sending papers in now. You know, we're sending in papers every week now. And we're mailing, you know, we're making many copies and mailing them to the people. And then, of course, the faxes go out. And that's kind of, the fax systems that we set up. I got to take it. We bought the hardware. We bought the software. That was quite a few thousands of dollars. But all that is paid for. We bought a server. So we have all that set up for faxing. You know, we have 8 lines coming in. And so we fax. We can fax 24/7. So the only bill we have for faxing right now is 8 lines, which I forget what it is, maybe about $400 a month with the Internet. It's under $500 a month, $460, $430, I don't remember. But so far, we've been able to cover a lot of that inside the basic money that we got coming in. People are sending $5 a month, some people as much as $50 a month, some $20, some $10. And sometimes people will send a check for $100 for the year or whatever, however they want to do it. And so far, by God's mercy, we've been able to pay the bills for quite some time. But we are at a point where we need more money to do more mailing. So if we can get an extra $1,000 or $2,000 a month, well, let me think about that. Yeah, I think if we can get $500 a week more than what we're getting, we'd be very comfortable with all our mailings going out and everything, you know. So I buy 10 reams of paper probably every month. I buy a couple of toners every single month, and the machine's been holding up that I use. So, you know, when that goes, that's only going to cost me a couple $100 to replace. The toner is what's most. And then mailing gets pretty expensive. You know, we buy envelopes, 100 envelopes, $20, $25, depending on it's number 10 or the next size up. Stamps, this next mailing going out, most of the stamps are 91 cents a piece for the stamps. But certain of them have to be done certified. That's about $4 additional cost for the certified ones. So, you know, it's all over the place, the amounts. But I would think if we can get an extra $500 a month and not lose what we have been getting in, we'd be pretty good shape to be able to maintain the mailing. We'd like to do a really big mailing, which would be a huge, huge project to mail something out directly, bringing every sheriff in the nation into the court by naming them, every one of them, and mailing out to, that's 3,143. And you figure if it cost us, $1.50 to $2 between everything that's necessary. Let's say $2 between everything that's necessary to do that. We're talking 2 times 31, 6, about $6,500 just to do that one mailing to the sheriffs alone. That's something we'd like to do very as soon as possible, but we just don't have that kind of money now. So again, anybody that can give, please give. The key thing is given monthly, you know, $5 a month. If all our members gave $5 a month, if all our members or even half our members gave $5 a month, we would have so much money. We'd be able to do a heck of a lot more. Oh, man, a lot. But, you know, we only get a couple hundred people that actually really support us with their pocketbooks. So if you're not supporting us, please consider supporting us. And right now, if you can send a few extra bucks, send a few extra bucks because we need it for mailing. So that's where we're at with that.
Okay. Do you have a fundraising committee?
Well, we were putting something like that together and along, and I don't know where that's gone or if it's still there, you know, some other ideas. You know, what happens is we put committees together, And if we're not on top of them, they kind of just become, lumps on a log. And that's the nature of people. So we're trying to really structure the leadership to really start, getting out there, massaging these lumps and keeping them moving. we have some committees that aren't doing anything, but they've kind of brought themselves together, but they're not doing the job yet. So we got to go and give them a little boost, you know? So.
Well, yeah, because, you know, money is your lifeblood, so that might deserve some more attention over there, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. We're looking at a few little things, but we're very careful in who we get to bed with. We've been offered big money by big people, and we've turned them down because we know that something comes with it, and we're not willing to give it. So we'll live on the shoestring budget, and we've been surviving on, hey, look, we're making it so far on a shoestring budget. As long as we get by every month and accomplish the goals every month, I'm good with that.
Okay, last thing. This is probably a naive question, but you're always talking about we need people to help with research. And again, this is probably a naive question.
Right.
Can you guys set up some kind of research class or research training to teach people who want to become better at research?
Well, look, at the best way to learn research is join the research group. Again, Lori is spearheading it at this point. Anybody who wants to join that can get a hold of it. He could be doing other things and still join the research. You know, you can join more than one committee. You can only lead one committee. But you could be a state coordinator.
If I'm a new member, I know nothing about research, but I'd like to learn, I'd like to help. I can join the research committee, and they'll show me the ropes.
They'll give you piecemeal things that they're looking for. You know, look at research. A lot of research is a lot of tedious stuff too. Remember that. But you know, look at research is important when you're doing the research. You collect the evidence along with it. You can come with all the conclusions you want, but that's all they are, is conclusions. You have to have the documentation behind it. You have to have affidavits. You have to have certification of documents. You have to achieve. You know, a video could be a document, and it could be it's an evidence that we can live with. But once you get into the court, you have to have someone certified. So we have to know who did that video, and then we have to get that video certified, which is only a sworn statement saying, yeah, I took that video, and it represents exactly what it represents. It hasn't been fudged with, and so on and so forth. So, you know, that certifies it. That makes it good, solid evidence in court. Same thing with a recording. Affidavits rule the court 100%. So those are the things we need. Documentation of studies and stuff, you know, because we're collecting information on the poisons in our water and our air and our food and so on. But, you know, we can get all the studies and everything we need, but we also have to get them certified. And that's not too hard. If we can get the studies and get all of the data on it and at least the conclusions and the names of the people that performed those studies, even if we can't get the documentation right now, okay, well, we can use that, because once you get into a court of law, you know, you can bring those people into the stand, or you can give them a call, and they can either certify it and then come in the stand and swear to it and walk off the stand and give the conclusions. But even if they don't want to, then we can draw them in and force them into the courts to swear for or against this document that they, you know, apparently created and concluded. But we have to have all the information on all of this information. Everything has to be documented. And you want to see some real serious documentation of research. I said this many times before, and I'll say it probably many times again. Go read the book, The Excellence of Common Law by Brent Winters. Boy, if any book has ever been documented more, every line in there has documentation on it. It's just an amazing body of work.
So again, just to make sure, if I'm a member and I don't think I'm very good at research, but I'd like to learn and I'd like to help, I am invited to join the research.
Everybody is. Okay. We can't have too many people in that area.
All right.
Everybody is invited. So,
okay, well, that's great, and thank you for giving me all this time, and I yield.
Okay, thanks, Dave. See you later.
All right. Okay,
we're going to go to, Deborah, is it? 251 area code?
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead. You don't sound like a Deborah to me, but go right ahead.
Well, Deborah's listed in Baldwin County. This is Robert.
How you doing, Robert?
I can sound like Deborah if you'd like me to.
That's okay. We'll go along with Robert.
I'm a new member, and I went through the civic course and the constitutional course, and it's kind of like a Hollywood movie. Not a bad movie, but a good movie that you really don't want to end. It's so good, you want to keep going with it, so you hunger for it. I've been dealing with the common law prior to running into you guys, of course, one thing leads to another, and it led me up to you. And there are some single fellows out there, and you probably know who they are, that talk about common law, and they're pretty extremely knowledgeable about the common law, but they're standalone, and they help others. But when I came to you, of course, I found a national alliance. So it intrigued me to become a member. But I have a question. Early today, I went to the front page on the comment section, and there was a gentleman there that advocated shooting and burning the BLM agents out in Oregon.
Well,
and it really... On your website, on your comment section.
Okay, well, just before you go any further, Jan, you might want to look into that, see what we can do. Get Gary on that also, if necessary,
okay.
But let's delete that. We don't need anything
absolutely.
Like that.
Right.
See, you touched on that, and you know there's saboteurs everywhere. And so,
yes.
You know, if you've got the Department of Homeland Security already... you know, focusing on you, you certainly. And so it set me on fire, and I said, well, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe, you know, these people are letting these comments come in, and I certainly don't want to advocate any kind of violence. But that's not
right.
The way. It's the Constitutional Court where you're going to get anything heard. Violence is
just
not going
to be. Well, it's incumbent upon our membership to report anything like that. We do. Gary, I know, keeps a good eye on that. And he reads a lot of that stuff. Sometimes it gets through for a day or two, and when he catches up, he finds them and deletes them. So we do keep on top of it. But anybody who finds this stuff, by all means, report it. You can report it here on Monday, and or you can report it to any of the national leaders under the directory, and we'll make sure we deal with it right away.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that, and I do appreciate it. You're talking about the mainstream media and sending out, you know, all the notifications to the mainstream media.
Right, there are five major corporations, and I understand
exactly,
maybe there's six.
Exactly.
And we're going to go
exactly.
straight to the mother load right here, because those are the people responding. Those are people responsible and are pulling the orders down the line. So we're going to bring those six major corporate leaders, the COs or whatever, and then we're also going to probably, you know, deal with the whole business, the whole the corporation itself. But we want to go after individuals, and we're going to pull them into the court, and I want to know why they're not printing the truth. Why are they lying? Because that's what they're doing. Why are they lying?
Well, right. After 16 years, I print an offer to the news website, and it produces about 3 million views a year. It's actually, people are falling away from the mainstream media, and you're never going to hold Congress. And I know, you know, you're probably one of the well-versed people I've ever heard in my life on common law and constitutional law, but these people are closed-eared to you, and it's the alternate news outlets where you're really going to get. And I say, and I have been promoting National Liberty Alliance to the alternate news sites, and believe it or not, I'm getting a lot of interest out of it. So
that's
hopefully
great.
That'll bring new members, and like you say, it'll bring it to, you know.
Right. We do have a media committee, and if you wanted to get involved with that, but we do have a media committee. We kind of have to get a strike going underneath it, get it moving again. But they need to be dealing with newspapers across the nation. We do have a list of newspapers across the nation, and we do have their emails, and we do feed them information. Whether they're reporting on local levels or not, we don't really know. But we do have people. We have a media committee, you know, focused in on YouTube.
Oh, I actually prefer the sheriff's committee, because we have a local sheriff that says he's an officer of the court, and of course we know where that goes. So I prefer to be on the sheriff's media and get this joker out and get someone in that'll hold up
the
Constitution.
Well, by
the
way,
we're
going to be checking things out in Oregon to see how many of these sheriffs have oaths of office in place in the county and in the Oregon law. As a matter of fact, it might be in the Constitution, but it's in the law in Oregon that they must have a copy of their oath of office right there in the county, and we're going to check that out in the next hopefully week. This is what we're going to get some of the research going to make some phone calls and get a copy of these things. But if they don't exist, we're going to make a list of the counties where they don't exist. And inside also Oregon law, and there's other places, even in New York and other places, if someone is sitting in an office and they don't have an oath of office, then they have no, that office is actually vacant. And anybody, until the next election or unless a special election is run, until that happens, anybody can take up that post in that office, get sworn in, and take control of that office as sheriff. And we're going to investigate that.
Actually, with that being said, you know, the Diabol voting machines, it's been proven, and there's documentation out there, that the feds are actually promoting these sheriffs.
Yeah, John, before you guys continue, Linda has some very important news to say after this call.
Okay.
I've got some comments, too.
Okay. All right, yeah, we're going to want to try to entice people in those counties to go and seize control of those positions. Maybe the first thing is to push the sheriff there to take his oath of office and to put him under the fire and say, hey, look, when you go take that oath of office, which you haven't done, and you better go do it now, you better know the Constitution because we're going to hold your feet to the fire, and give him a copy of the Constitution. Get him out to the constitutional course here on National Liberty Alliance, and or let's take those offices over. Let's let some local people in that county that might be interested to take that position. We definitely want these people that are constitutionally minded to run for those positions. We need them as sheriffs. We need them in those positions, you know.
I do understand that, and I've read your website through and through, and I agree with all of it wholeheartedly. I have one other question.
Yeah.
As far as your administrators, jury administrators for each county, you do make a statement on there that these administrators will be paid from $45,000 to $130,000 a year.
Correct.
I'm in the drilling business on international level, and stands to reason I make more than that, a lot more than that. But, of course, we all know what's happened in the petroleum industry worldwide, and it pretty much collapsed. So all the people that I'm associated with for 40 years are out of work. And by design, we all understand that as well. Well, there are a lot of people that really don't have the forethought to take the dedicated time to go out and sit these administrators or these juries or, you know, administration and directorships and this and that and the other. And it seems to me like there's a lot of footwork that needs to be done, but these people are going to take the cost upon their own. What in the future... And of course, if you have a system of checks and balances regulating these people that are not standing by the Constitution, you're going to be redirecting funds into the proper constitutional setup. And of course, these people would be justified to being paid. But what's your outlook in the future to have these people dedicate their time to go out and do all this work? Are you seeing that you're having a difficulty with this? I mean, it sounds to me...
Well, we've got lots of people, literally over 1,000 people taking courses, and that's key to the whole thing we're doing, and these are the people who are going to fill the positions. Obviously, if someone hasn't taken any of the courses and they come to fill a position and the position is open, they're welcome to that position, but then they're going to take a commitment to get that course done, and it's incumbent upon the other three individuals within the county to police that action and make sure that does happen, and not that they get stagnant in the course, you know, because they can go online and check. There are certain people who get in there and check to see where they're at, and we'll give more authority to the people in the administrative positions to find out where these people are in their courses. And their salary will also depend upon that. Until they finish these courses, they would be on the lowest level of payment for the job that they're doing, and ultimately they're on the job training. But there is I think there's 8 points of expertise. Being a speaker is one. Having a knowledge of law, being in the courts. You know, there's like about 8 different items that we've laid out that would judge a person's salary and how many years experience they have in these different areas. And that would judge the salary of where it should be. Now, the ranging of the salary, let's say a salary at $145,000, which would be the maximum or something like that possibly, but that means the person is really astute. I mean, they understand what's going on, and they have the knowledge, and they're at an advisor level. And you can't fake that. But nevertheless, once people achieve that kind of a level, you also have to realize that there's what's called the mean system out there. I used it in construction. We use the mean system when you go bid jobs. You know, I know what's going on in the economy in my neighborhood where I live. But sometimes you bid a job outside your neighborhood. Maybe you're down in a different county, or maybe you're further north, or maybe you're going further south. South is more expensive in construction, and north is less expensive. And then what's called the mean systems, which would give you a decimal point number. And let's say it's 0.85. So the maximum pay rate of a carpenter, and in this case an administrator, someone who is expertise in an area, let's say they qualify for $145,000. Well, the ratio correction of that might be 0.85, which means 85% of that salary is what they're going to get. Why? Because the cost of living is lower there than it is someplace else. But once we get back to the gold standard, which it has to be because the Constitution requires it, and we're going to make them obey the law, so we're going to get back to gold and silver. We have to. We don't have a choice. They don't have a choice. They can't deny it. So we're going to go back to that. Once we get back to the gold, silver, and things stabilize, look, the price of a loaf of bread, so to speak, or a pound of meat in Jefferson and Washington's day was no different then than it was in 1913. It was the same price. And, you know, I've got some studies, of course, of different things, of different foods and different what the value of a dollar is in relationship to gold, you know, how it was figured out. Matter of fact, for since the founding of this country and the effect of this country, you know, the Constitution was put in effect, all the way up until 1913 or 1916, an ounce of gold cost exactly $18.96. That's exactly what it is. Now, there was a fluctuation of 1 to 2 pennies from time to time over that 100-year period or so. So when you look at that, it's a very stable control. So at that point, there is no index to be used for cost of living, because the cost of living will be equal everywhere once we get back to the gold. You know, it's all inflation and the value of inflation that changes things. And, yeah, it is true that sometimes it's a little more difficult to get an item to this area than it is to that area. But generally speaking, things should balance out. You know, everybody, every state has its own resources, and they share with other states. The economy keeps moving, and we share our resources with each other, and we are a people working and living, and we can, you know, have an economy that flows and is consistent no matter where you live. So all that will be adjusted. And money...
Well, I understand that, John, and I do appreciate it. And to clarify why I asked that question, I've got time on my hands for a while. We don't know when the petrodollar is going to collapse.
I'm really sorry to rush you guys, but we have a lot of...
He's winding down. Go ahead. Wind down, because we do have a lot of people. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have a lot of people, and we have some comments. So
that sounds great. I do appreciate it, and I'm sorry for rambling. Y'all have a good evening.
Well, it was a good call. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, right. We got a lot of good information out of that. Okay, go right ahead, Carl. What do we got?
Let me see if Linda's still on the call. Jan, did you have something to say before?
Right, I've got three quick things. First, I removed the comments suggesting that people shoot the BLM members.
Right, thank you very much. How long has that been up, do we know? There's a time.
It just went up. It just went up about an hour and 5 minutes ago, I think it was.
I wonder if it was that guy in here that came in was obviously a disruptor. I mean... You know, I understand when people don't understand what we're doing, and they think it's impossible, and they challenge us or whatever the case, and we accept that. But when they become dogmatically disruptive and denial, it says something else about them. But go ahead.
Okay. We're scheduling an 8 p.m. tomorrow EST National Coordinators meeting with you, John, so be forewarned.
8 p.m.?
8 p.m. EST, yep.
Okay.
Third thing, I just got an email a little bit ago from a fellow by the name of Les Zaitz. He is the senior investigative reporter for the Oregonian, the newspaper in Oregon, and he is attempting to report on citizen grand jury proceedings. I put his information in your Skype bin. Please
is there
take
a phone number?
Yes, I have two, one for his office, one for his cell, and the Twitter.
I'll give him a call tomorrow. I think we're 3 hours different. He's in Oregon,
right.
So I'll call him at noontime. He should be in by then, 9 o'clock his time.
Yep.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. And Linda, you're unmuted now, so you should be able to speak.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can.
Well, I had a couple of phone calls from Bill Good, from Bill Goody, just a few minutes ago. And
great.
He was so happy. He said that there's a very close friend of the Hammonds that was watching the situation with Joaquin, and it didn't sit right with him. He describes Joaquin as a very self-promoting person. So it bothered him, so he called Bill Goody. Well, we had spent quite a bit of time talking with Bill Goody today, really explaining things. And afterwards, Bill called me again, and we talked quite a long time as well. So when Chris called him, Bill was able to share everything that we had told him. Well, he talked with all of the people involved and called Bill back and told him Joaquin is out. They're taking him out of Harney County. They want to get back with us.
All right, well, we have a document. I don't know whether the document has been delivered, but Gerard will be back tomorrow. I'll let him handle that, and you handle it.
We may have to put Gerard back on the plane.
Well, he'll go back out if he has to.
Yeah.
We do have somebody who will fund us if that's necessary. But look, at Bill's out there, and he's going out Thursday, I believe, right?
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll work something out. But look, at once we made the contact, we can have meetings right over, you know, Skype or even in our room, they can throw up a little screen, and we can come over the Internet and talk to them. So, but we'll work something out.
Yeah, we'll talk with them and we'll call them, because Bill had said when he was talking with me after we talked with you that the Committee of Safety really had wanted somebody there. You, just as Tanner was saying, they're getting so much from so many directions, and especially those that are telling them that they're insane and that they're not following the correct law, that they felt that they really needed that support. But, you know, they've already been there, and they've already checked out this other and were able to see through it. And so, you know, you might be right that just conferencing with them through Skype a lot might be
awesome. Yeah, we'll do whatever is necessary. And I know we left some books out there for them, which really is a books of all of the paperwork that we've been filing. And that speaks reams about what we know, who we are, and what we're doing.
Yes.
You know? So maybe they're looking through that, too, and they're coming to understand that we're very careful and we're staying on the law. We're not getting lost in fiction. We're not playing games with denying people their unalienable rights. We have a standard of principles of honest justice and mercy, and we believe in the King of the Court, and I know they do, too.
Yeah.
They were honoring the Lord's Day and were really concerned about, I understand from what I understood anyway, is that they really weren't interested in getting together on Sunday, but they did see the need. Because they wanted to honor the Lord's Day, and that is very appreciated.
And this Chris Wilson, I'm not sure that I grasped, because my line was going in and out, and I didn't get to catch all of Bill Goody's words, but it sounds like this Chris Wilson is either with or very closely affiliated with Fox News. So Bill Goody was giving him your phone number, Gerard's phone number, and my phone number because he wants to speak with us.
Okay. All right, sure. We'll speak with anybody.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good report. We appreciate that. And let's look at it. I'll tell you what, when you get motivated tomorrow and get moving, get on the phone with me about 9 a.m. Eastern time. Well, you can get a little later than that. And let's start getting Gerard and making some connections with Bill and do all the things we have to do to harmonize with all these people.
Yes, I can do 8 or I can do 9 if that's best for you.
Okay. Well, 8 is good your time, which is 9 my time, I believe, right? Or is it vice versa?
Well, I can do 7 my time, 8 your time, or I can do 9 your time.
I need some sleep.
I won't get
sleep tonight till about 2 o'clock. So.
I'll call you 9 in the morning your time.
Sounds good
John.
To me. Okay, yes, Jerry.
It's rumored that Gerard is still stuck in Oregon because of plane problems. You might want to try and get a hold of him.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe let me see if I can get him as we're speaking here just a minute. And, let's see. Let's see which number we're going to go in on. See if we can get them. I tried them a couple of times today. Maybe we could tell them, don't come home. Stay there. We'll try to get some money out to him. You know?
Spend it's another raining. Day or two. Anyway, huh?
Yeah. It's raining.
You'll love us.
Yeah. So his plane was delayed, you heard?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Okay. Went to a... I'll try him in 20 minutes and I'll continue throughout the evening. It's 9 o'clock his time or 8:40 his time. So maybe I can get him. And because he was considering staying, but since things weren't that kind of a connection, we thought he decided to leave. But with this change of potential, this potential change, you know, we'll try to get some money out to him and let him rent the car again and head back. If that's what he wants to do. You know, he's got a business here to attend to. So. All right, let's get back to the calls. Are we done on this level here?
Yep.
Okay. I will running short, so I'll try to move along. Jan, maybe you can prod me to move along, but
okay.
We'll take
be
the
glad
next
to.
Caller. Huh?
I'll be glad to.
Okay, I'm sure you would be. Robert, did we just finish with you, 251 number?
I believe so.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, so let me go to the next person. It's a 703 number, Iva, I-V-A.
Yes, hello, Ivana from Mission Viejo, California.
How you doing, Ivana?
I am new. I am very grateful I came across your organization. I will definitely look at my financial situation and donate some money tomorrow, become a monthly member, start educating myself on all the material, and I would like to get involved, so I will contact the local district person and see what I can do.
Yeah, what you want to do is why don't you give a call to one of the national leaders and discuss some ideas and things that you would be interested in trying to do, and they'll steer you towards the right committees or right groups or whatever needs to be done. We need lots of leaders in lots of places. So anything you could do to help our cause along by filling voids and helping, we welcome it. So.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
All right. Thank
That's,
you very much.
God bless
Appreciate
you.
You too. Appreciate it. Okay, Scott from South Carolina.
Hi, John, can you hear me?
I can hear you good, Scott. Go right ahead. Scott, right?
Yes. Hey, okay. I sent you, and I think Jan and maybe Linda, that video of the BLM meeting where they were bragging about stealing land and taking it. I don't know if you got it or not.
Well, I don't know. I there is a lot of video out on my Skype that I haven't had time to look at yet. I know Linda has shared a lot with me. You've put it into my Skype also?
Well, I didn't put it in your Skype. I actually emailed it to everybody.
Okay. Yeah, email doesn't do well with me because I get too much
of
it.
Yeah, I get your autoresponder. But I was
yeah, well, the autoresponder just says that I got it, and, you know, if it's not too much, I'll see what I could do about it. But yeah. You know what? If it's a good video and you've sent it to Linda or Gerard or Jan or Gary, and if it's a good video, they get it to me, and then usually I eventually find time to watch it and see once. But I did see a few things on, you know, what's going on in Oregon, and tomorrow morning I'll try to spend some time going through those videos.
I saw one of the questions I had had to do with the new paper going out, and I don't know if this means anything. It may not, but I was looking at the term "people" as
right.
It's prescribed with the Second Amendment. And one thing that caught my eye was the capital P and the small p and the difference between the two. And the best I can tell reading Black's Law Dictionary is that when you use the capital P, it really refers to the state and the people that are more or less running the state.
Yeah, that would be fictional conclusion. They try to change the law and the meaning of words. They first change the meaning of words, and then they change the meaning of laws, and that happens. And I haven't heard that, but what we do more often than not, well, people, we always put people as a cap because they're the boss. And the people are the really the the capital, you know. And, you know, more often than not, we try to use we the people, because we want to make the point, it is we the people that have established and ordained this Constitution for you. We're the boss. And so we do, and we always cap the W and we cap the P, and we also always do Old English on the caps. So not necessarily always with people, but we probably should do the Old English. You know, Linda, let's make a note of that. Let's try to make all P's caps, all cap P's, which we always use cap, we'll go to the Old English. And that gives it that Old English, you know, really brings us back to the law, in my opinion. Whenever you see some forms and stuff, or you know, the wherefore clause, often you'll see it, and you always see the Old English cap letters just on a couple of words. And so we try to do that too.
One of the points I was going to make is the smaller P is meant for the people themselves, the people inside of the...
Well, we're going to change that around because we're free people and we have liberty, and we don't adhere to the fiction. See, one of the other things is we don't go in with the man of the land. We don't tell people to do declarations. We don't have to do that because we're trying to fight them, to tell them we're doing something or trying to appease... No, we're going to tell them whatever they're doing is a fraud. And when they say, look, they use the capital P. No, that's a fraud. We pay no heed to it. It means what we mean. And we define it. We used to define the people. Maybe we should define it again. But we have defined people in our paperwork. We the people. The people are we the people. So,
okay.
Jan, do you want to pipe in something?
No.
No, okay.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
My last point, I've been trying to do a lot of recruiting on the Liberty sites for the National Liberty Alliance. And one of the people I ran across was a Lakota Indian who says that they are taking their land around a lake and building condos on it. The federal government's doing it. A lake she grew up and learned to swim in is now not part of the Lakota Nation.
Yeah, we're gonna end all that stuff. Look,
I was just wondering, because I tried to refer her to us. And, of course, she was kind of hesitant because it's white man's law and white man's, and they've broken every treaty and everything. But I was just wondering, is it viable for the Indian nations, who would probably be a lot of people, to recommend it to her to get herself a common law grand jury and go after them, but, you know, to come to our site and learn. But anyway, I was thinking that... you know, I don't know how that would work because they are really a sovereign people and a sovereign nation.
Right. Well, look, we're going to make sure when we get in charge, that is we the people, okay, take control on grassroots levels, that's on every county levels, and collectively we'll continue to work together collectively as a unified United States common law grand jury until we can suppress all this oppression. And that would include oppression upon the Indian people, upon the people of Alaska, upon the people of Hawaii, and even upon the people in Puerto Rico and in other territories of the United States. You know, most of all of these territories are at a point where they can become a state. They can strike for statehood. And some of them have been wanting to do it, and they've been, you know, suppressed away from doing it by whatever forces are out there. But I think one of the things we need to do once we clean up the problems in Washington and in our own capitals within our states and get law and order back in place, I think we need to visit these people and ask them what it is that they want. And whatever it is they want, we need to give it to them. They're a free people, just like we are. We're not to lord over anybody else, and certainly the Indians have been given a really bad thing over the years, just as many other cultures in the United States. The black people have really been beaten up pretty bad in this nation. We need to fix all these problems, and we can, because we the people, once we the people take control, and as long as we stay on the principles, and there's justice in the courts, therefore God is in the court, once that's the case, they're going to get their justice, and they're going to get what is owed to them and what belongs to them. And if they have been promised a piece of land for whatever purpose and they want to keep separate from us, that's their business, and we'll bless that. And, you know, we'll always be there to trade and work with them and do whatever's possible. And of course, they're always welcome to come into any of the states and become a citizen there. After all, even being there, they're still a citizen. They're offered citizenship of the United States. Anybody in any territory, and I would imagine that even in the Indian land to some degree, is considered to some degree territory. I don't know how it's really, I don't know the law on that. But they're offered the citizenship, and so they are, you know, people down in Puerto Rico, they're citizens of the United States. Somalia, they're citizens of the United States. You know, these people have a right to statehood if they want it. And every state is sovereign. It needs to remain so. The only thing that we have a union, and the union it really is that constitution. And I don't know any state that would want to do away with the constitution. That's our union. And so all the states are unioned together under that trust, which is a government, a federal government. It's a trust, and we all send representatives to run that trust, and it needs to be run under the law, which is the Constitution. So we'll do our best and pray for wisdom, I'm sure, in that, and try to fix that problem.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, John. I'd just like to say that if anybody hasn't taken the Constitution course, I highly recommend it once again. And another thing is, you know, the only power the courts have is through the law enforcement, the badge and the gun. And if we can get the badge and the gun on our side as, per se, common law, then we can go in and rule the courts. That should be our first precedent.
Absolutely. Look, we can lose everyone in government, and they can all go rogue and against us. And if we have the sheriffs, done deal. Over. Case closed. So with the sheriffs and the marshals and the special agent FBIs, those are the most important people. And also the Joint Chief of Staff. I mean, they're probably a stacked deck, but maybe not as stacked as they would like it to be. So, but we need at least to get law enforcement on those levels, the federal level, you know, which is the marshal and the federal and the Fed, the FBI, and also, of course, the sheriff, which is the county level, and that's the most important, is the sheriff, the county level. Because if the sheriffs come together and say, hey, get out of town, Fed, believe me, the feds are leaving. They never, never go up against the sheriff. It's suicide for them to go up against the sheriff. As much as they've destroyed the office of the sheriff, they still haven't destroyed it, and they still fear it.
I just wish we could get more of them as oath keepers, but I appreciate your time. And
we're working on that. Believe me, we are working on that. So. Okay, thanks a lot for the call. Okay,
thank
we could take maybe one more call. Yeah, someone wanted to talk to me? Okay, I guess not. Okay, we could take one more caller because it's coming to the end of our night here. Only got a minute. Let's see. It's New York Mike. Go right ahead. You got the mic. Mike?
Okay, this is Mike. How you doing, John? Thank you.
Good, thank you. I
got a call from Ron Flick, started organizing things out here in New York, and I talked to Dean, another counterpart of mine out here today, and what a great conversation. Wonderful people.
Great.
There's good people in good positions out here, and we're all of the same mind.
Yeah, what county are you in?
Schuyler.
Skyla, okay. Yeah, you should try to get a hold of Dave out there. He's in Niagara County. I don't know if you know Dave. So, but go right ahead. I think he's out. I'm looking where Skyla. Yeah, Skyla, you're a little more central, so that's a little
too far. I've tried to keep in contact with everybody I met in Canandaigua, just even touch base once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, just picking brains. I've kept myself on a low key, more working personally with the public around me because – here in the southern tier, you know, it's a widespread country, and the bad entities have more power, authority, and avenue to keep said away from the few. You know, let's say in places where there's a bigger population, it would be easier to get more honorable people, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That could possibly know and take over. Out here, they only know what they see. And now I get to the one passionate caller tonight. I felt his pain. I have been there. If it wasn't for meeting you in Canandaigua, I'd still be there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this fight, and I wish I could give money. I'm a union carpenter on welfare. This is how far they've taken me. They just give me 7 driving awards here Friday night and stole my Jeep. And that actually, as minuscule as traffic violations are, in my position, it's actually huge because of the way they are going to use it for the only person that they know of in this area that can create them harm when we get there, and that's me. Because they know what they've done to me. They know I have no reverse. My resolve is sound. I will not quit. And
once you get to that point and you understand liberty, you can't continue in this world without liberty. You know, what Patrick Henry said, I think, rings true, and anyone that really discovers it and understands it and one desires it not only for themselves but for their posterity. And he said, give me liberty or give me death. And
you'd rather be dead than live like this. And boy, do I feel that. And that's why I could understand the passions of that caller. You know, and I pray he hangs in there. Because if I can say anything to help that, I would like to say this. Before I had anything to do with the National Liberty Alliance, when I was falsely imprisoned after winning trial, they still threw me in jail. I seen the book, the Title IV Flag Says Your Swag, written by Jim Godsend. And I watched this person use it and work it. And that it just caught me, and I run with it. And all I had until I met you was that book. And I help people joyously. And I've bled for this cause, and I'm not exaggerating. The powers that be have tried to kill me twice. Mm-hmm. So this issue now that's coming up, as minuscule as it should be, is going to be used to quell me, because they know as well as I do that, not that I'm any kind of important, I'm just popular. And if I lose, you see, I've been pressing the flesh around here for a while and just trying to get as much, many people as possible, you know, and it's hard. And that's why I understand that man's passions, because everybody feels that same way. I have an argument at least once a day where somebody says, horseshit, and I don't blame them because I was there.
Right.
And because
okay,
I don't
want to cut you short, but we do have to go, and I got one other caller on the line that I want to bring her in just for a minute because she's one of our leaders here, and she might have something to say that's important. But, you know, call back again next Monday, and we'll take some more from there, okay?
All right, well, I'd like to say this. I got court on February 11th, and I think they're going to try to jail me.
All right, well, look, we have habeas corpus is available. If you want to, you know, do that, we'll do a habeas corpus.
Well, I want to do anything. What I was trying to get to was I'm going to be forced to confront with these people who mean me harm within a short period of time. Cool. And, you know, I have studied pretty well, and I'm confident. You know, I lack the procedure and documentation is my worst area, but I have knowledge of the law, and because I have been taking it very serious.
Click on the smiley, the upside down smiley face, which is a frowny face on our right hand side of our website, and the little frowny face is holding up the help sign. Click on that and see if you want to file paperwork with us, and we'll try to help you that way with habeas corpus to get you out of that jurisdiction, which they don't have jurisdiction over you. But with that, I got to move on because we're way beyond time, okay?
Yeah.
And we'll talk again soon, right? Let me just move on to one other caller. Lori, I want to take you on if you have something to say, but keep it short. You got 30 to 60 seconds.
Okay, I have about 6 items to cover. This is Lori from Colorado. My son FOIA'd into Sheriff Ward. He should have gotten those today as far as him deputizing, you know, out-of-state people or whoever he deputized to handle this situation at the Malheur Center. And, okay, then their research committee. I've only had one person contact me and I don't know how to let people know what that we've got another committee going.
Okay, let's talk about this tomorrow. Get me on the phone. Maybe we'll get Linda on the phone, and we'll get, I forget who else was with us. I think Gary was, and we'll try to get a hold of the people and make sure that there's a connection there. And anybody that wants to get into this special research committee working with Lori here and who's working directly with me in order to accumulate evidence. But go ahead, what else do you have?
Okay, information about the evidence that was not submitted in the Hammond trial will come out about midnight tonight. I'll
okay.
forward that to anybody that wants it. Or
yeah, make sure you get that information to Linda, and then she'll go through that with me too. Anything else?
Okay, yes. Who put out this NJAOHSP document? Was that from Chris Christie?
Well, that's sent out by the New Jersey Homeland Security, and we have the name. We have nobody's name on that except for the director and the governor. So the governor is responsible. He put his name on it. We're holding him responsible. We're naming him responsible, and we're having him to answer as much as the director.
Okay, there, and because in the second bullet point, the Harney County Sheriff made allegations that the militia was doing that militia stuff.
We do know that the militias have been very well behaved out there. They're very sophisticated. They understand the problem. They don't want to escalate anything. They've made friends with the FBI. They're friendly as they can with the sheriff. There's no way that they would be sitting outside of these people's homes. I don't believe it at all. And the word that we got out was that it actually was the FBI posing as militia. I guess they dressed up as militia and was sitting in front which now then being reported as militia for intimidation outside their homes. But that certainly was not the militia.
Okay, and then the $100,000 for that fence, it was a 10-foot fence at a corner section of the fence. How could that be $100,000? I think I'm going to call Chris Christie's office in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. And look at, on top of that, we'll look a little deeper into that, but on top of that, we've heard some amazing things about a couple of sheriffs out that way that are actually taking those fences down because they're illegal, and God bless them, and they got every right to do it because they are illegal. And so, of course, we, the people, shouldn't do that, but if the sheriff does that, we'll get right behind him.
Right. Well, one of the things that I've been doing, because I cannot go out there, age, finances, and everything, I have been peppering all of the Facebook pages out there in Oregon with documents of videos, the truth, and the question that I start out before I post anything is, question, who would be willing to give me the definitions for communism and double jeopardy?
Well, look at what Hammonds are going through right now is double jeopardy.
Exactly.
Okay? And communism, I don't know, I'd have to think about a definition for that, but, ultimately communism brings us right back to dictatorship, just like Nazism, and unfortunately, as we are right now, we're in a dictatorship. This guy in the White House isn't really making the moves. There's an oligarchy there, and they're behind this guy, and they're telling him what to do, and he's doing it. But they're also doing the same thing with our Congress and our courts. This is where we're at. We're in Germany, 1938, and we better wake up. And I know the people that come to this call and belong to our membership, that they have woken up. They know we have to do something.
I wanted to get someone's attention out there, and no one has answered me. From all the tribes, all the Facebook pages, I figured, if I end up in jail, I'll just ask for break goods. That's all. I've got to keep it going. I cannot, because I
Amen.
Can't. There doesn't mean that I can't get active here and do something.
That's right. And we're going to do it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lori. God bless you. Okay. With that, we're going to end our evening tonight. Appreciate everyone coming. Lord willing, we will see you again next Monday. And let's get active. Let's become leaders here. Anybody who's not in the leadership role, let's get into the leadership role. Pick up a leadership role, particularly in the district courts, because we need it. We need to organize, and we need to get some things going fast. But with that, again, good night. Thank you.